And welcome to In-Game Chat for Tuesday, August the 11th, 2009, the official podcast, ColonyGamers.com. Check us out there, or our forums are over there. Our In-Game Chat forums are there. Also, you can hit us up at InGameChat.net. Write us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. Hit us up on Twitter at InGameChat. And call us. Our Google Voice number is 201-7-IN-GAME. We'll post that out for you as well. 201-7-IN-GAME. I gave it the wrong one last week on the show, so whoever you call, I don't know if you had a conversation with them or not, but yeah, I'm glad they called.
Tell them we said hi.
Yeah, definitely. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
Hi, I'm Jeremy.
I'm RJ.
What are we talking about today?
Oh, let's see. Borderlands box art.
Which is awesome, but you'll hear that in just
a minute. Man, that's how you do box art.
Borderlands. I already said Borderlands. Sturmovik.
Yeah, that's really hard, but you should do it anyway, whatever, because it's pretty. Clearly, you should have played the Batman demo right now. We all have. Well, most of us have.
I will.
I know you will. It's totally fine. I know you will. Yeah. You had better things to do. Well, you had other things to do. Yeah,
not necessarily better.
Yeah.
Speaking of not necessarily better, ATI cards
and
their
drivers. Yeah, I'm done, guys. Tired of your shit.
They're the bane of your existence, isn't it?
I just want to be able to anti-alias my Batman and look at the cool fog effects.
We'll talk about what we played. Talk about Avatar stuff.
I'll fuck up a lot.
Yeah.
Talk about WoW.
A little
answer
bit,
emails
yeah.
and Twitters and stuff like that. And you'll find out that how you can work VR jetpacks, GPS, motion control, air travel, and WoW all into, like, the same subject matter.
Yeah.
The same topic.
It's actually unavoidable.
And then finally,
G.I. Joe's a piece of shit.
There you go. So, enjoy the show. All right.
Because this, my friend, this is how you build fucking box art. That's the Borderlands box art.
That is sweet.
That's good.
That's not even the best version of it. That... See, that's Wait, all I
best
needed.
Version. Where, there's two.
What No. It's a bad. It's a cropped picture.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm being stupid. I know. I'm just saying. See if I can figure out. Here we go.
Oh yeah. There we go.
Man, it's not hard. Now I don't have to try to describe what everybody's doing wrong with their box art. I can simply refer them to Borderlands. That's good. It is everything you need. It's exactly the kind of eye-catching that you need without being ridiculous. It's funny. It's idiomatic. Like, it's everything that, you know, the Mass Effect fail art, like, completely, you know, it's just, it's simple. It's I really like Gearbox a lot. And I like Randy. And now I want to talk to the guy that did that box art on the show.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I felt very, very happy when they did that. I could not think of a more perfect example of what I like in box art. And they make a very good point here in this article, wherever the hell I'm reading this, Kotaku, that it is not very often that the in-game model of some kind of character makes it onto the box art. It's usually some sort of stylized or... imaginative concept art design or something like that of a character, which I mean, whatever, but this is, you know.
And 1 hour ago we got a tweet from Lavos who says, at the risk of becoming the box art guy, Borderlands box art is quite interesting and fresh.
Yeah, oh no man, it's how it's done, my friend. I agree with you completely. So I'm going to go on record. This is what I've been talking about. I can generally make a good point, but obviously whoever did that made a much better point than I did, so that's really good stuff. Anybody, like, slightly more excited about that at all now? There have been a couple of good, like, hands-ons recently posted, you know, of single-player and co-op sort of stuff.
For what?
For Borderlands.
Oh, no, I haven't read any of that.
Okay.
I've been excited about it since I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, so have I. That's why I said more excited.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with Borderlands. I'm actually more excited because of the box art. Rather than anything else.
Well, you're weird.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, cool. Then every time a really cool thing shows up in the game, I'll get it and be like, no, you're just happy with the box art.
Yeah.
I'll take this bitch and gun, and you go look at the box art.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know. It looks like fun. I like hearing Randy talk about it. I like his honesty about the PC version versus the console version. You read that, yeah?
I haven't. I didn't see that.
Oh, really? I thought you and I talked about it.
I think so.
I have a huge problem now, largely because I spend so much time with Jeremy now.
Are we about to get, like, blown away here?
Yeah, we're about to get, like, face smashed by the weather.
Sorry, I don't know if the mics are picking up that...
I think they're picking up the thunder.
That thunder, but...
But it sounds like this.
The trees are, like, going crazy. It's dark and scary outside. And, you know, it's tornado country, so...
We did have an interruption with the robotic voice tonight.
Yeah, the robotic voice and the ticker tape's probably going to start going off
The rest of it. It's been too hot, though. It's not like a solid front. It's not well organized. It's just a big raffle stomp thunderstorm that's going to come through.
Raffle stomp thunderstorm.
Ah, man. Where are we at?
We're already
3:45. That's cool. That's a title contender.
All right. I got to take notes.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, you know, we have our we go see movies on Sundays, and then like I work for you now.
Yeah.
So
that's a switch. Usually it's me working for you. historically, that's been the case.
But I spend so much time around you guys now, and something everybody should know is that we have a lot of, you know, like the gaming news equivalent of like blue balls all week. Like, we've got all the stuff that we just got to get out, and like so we get in the studio and we just sort of blurt it out, and it comes out whenever it comes out, and that's what you get.
And then we get in here and like, who did I talk to you about?
So the more time we spend together outside of the studio, the less clear it is during showtime what I've actually, like, have Jeremy and I talked informally about all this stuff that's been going on for the past week. Did Scott and I talk about it, like, you know, on the way to the movie, or during the ads, or after the movie, like on Sunday?
Or given the movie, did we do it during the film?
Yeah. So I apologize, you know, if we refer to something before, as if it hasn't been mentioned. But I could have sworn I talked to you about the...
I don't think so.
I could have sworn you brought it up to me, actually. Randy basically saying, like, he was a little bit...
I think I brought this up to
you.
You
brought this up. Yeah. Okay, see? This is what happens. like, Randy was, you know, really honest about, like, I don't know where the hell to play Borderlands. He was like, I love sitting on the couch. I like playing this on my couch.
And he was also like, but it looks really, really nice on the PC. Yeah. Like, a lot better.
He was actually very clear about the fact that this... What he was saying is he was being honest about the fact that something as simple as the graphics are, it's something that's unachievable on a console. And while this is a well-known thing and clearly not hard to document, you're still talking about how something looks, and looks is subjective. Yeah. And we just don't talk about it a lot. Well, yeah, you know, it's going to look better on the PC. But this is a developer who's obviously a friend of both angles. And he's very clearly saying, no, it's just, like, you know, it's all messed up good-looking on the PC, and that's all there is to it.
And he's also like, and it's a first-person shooter, so, you know, there's the mouse-keyboard thing, which is the superior way to control a first-person shooter. He's like, but I really like to game from my couch, and I feel him, because, like...
I do, and it's just
I'm right
it's just
there
nice.
With him on that,
It didn't feel political. It didn't feel like, I'm trying not to anger the MKB crowd.
Right.
You know, while also, you know... staying real to the slow-turning analog stick crowd.
Right.
It didn't feel like that, which is what it feels like when other developers try to speak honestly about cross-platform titles. Mm-hmm. It felt like Randy Pitchford, who was just super excited about lots of things simultaneously. And I'm okay with that. So it was really good. And I was like, dude, I'm in the same place, man. I was going to pre-order your shit on PC.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a lot of my people came along and said, no way. Can't play it on my PC, and knowing that co-op is so important, there you go. So we'll see. I don't know. It was really good. Glad I can talk about their box art, though. It's hot stuff.
What else would we be glad to talk about?
Shit, man.
I did play the Sturmovik demo. Thanks, Dan.
I wish we could have gone further with this, but you mentioned that to Kevin.
I did.
I would like to reiterate that Kevin has been a sim guy since... Kevin taught himself how to build PCs when he was a child. so that he could skip school and go home and play Secret Weapons of the Luftwaffe. And I'm not exaggerating. Like, that's what he did. Kevin is a sim guy and has been for ages and ages. And he and I have played the PC version of Sturmovik together, where he sort of patiently encouraged me during the hours and hours it took for me to learn how to take off with it tuned to absolute simulator settings. Mm-hmm. And again, that's not an exaggeration. It's just hard. So for it to get any sort of realization on the console is interesting, because Sturmovik, when you use that name, when you decide that you are Sturmovik as a game, as a flight sim, like, you really need to be no joke about the sim. And how that is even remotely achievable on a console, I couldn't have said. There's a lot of necessary changes. It's a lot of things that it had to be because it was on a console. But I played it, and I was surprised how long I played it. And I played it on all three difficulties. And people are going to find that even on arcade, I mean, Kevin will never play it because it doesn't matter what the situation is or how realistic certain aspects of it are. It isn't a sim because, you know, he doesn't control every single aspect of the thing. And in that respect, he's completely right. You are limited to the number of controls on your input device. And on a PC, that's like, can be hundreds.
Yeah.
Depending on the mapping of your particular joystick and throttle combo, and if you have pedals, and like, are you using a track IR? Because if you're for real serious, you're using a track IR. And then your whole keyboard, you know, it's all serious stuff. But holy, did you play it on all three difficulties like I told you to?
No.
You didn't do that, did you?
I only played it on arcade.
Asshole. God damn it. You need to go home and turn that shit to simulator. They left out part of the name of that difficulty setting. It's actually Spin Simulator. That's what it is. Because if, dude, holy cow, it is so difficult. There is, like, no HUD on simulator. There's no, like, crazy, like, blue arrow bobbing in the distance to tell you where the tanks you need to bomb are. Like, none of that shit. It's just like, hey, you gotta go find it for yourself, motherfucker. Like, you gotta find this, like, those little tiny black specks in the sky. That's the shit you gotta shoot. Like, there was no help. And the avionics were sick. Like, I've never seen anything like it on a console.
Wow.
And so it's in that respect. Not the avionics, it's not the right word. Or maybe it is the right word, I don't know. But the flight mechanics, I guess, the aerodynamics and the physics mm-hmm. of it are exceptionally, like, unforgiving and as difficult, I think, as you could possibly make it without being outright unfair. And it may actually be unfair. I had wondered if that game supports any of the flight stick peripherals for the 360. Hmm. And if it did, it would be much... It would probably be a lot more fun, because I don't like their mapping. And from what I can tell, it's not simply default mapping of controls, but absolute, like...
Yeah.
Map, because they've got... Basically, your throttle setting is on the right stick, and so is your rudder, you know, your yaw left and right. And there are times when I felt like I had to choose one or the other, but I kind of needed both.
Mm-hmm.
It was not comfortable. I didn't like it. But having said that, the arcade difficulty is still going to turn out to be quite a bit more realistic, I guess, than what you're familiar with in other flight sims. And for what it's worth, if a flight combat game is something you'd ever be interested in playing on a console, I think the arcade difficulty in Sturmovik is probably going to be excellent. It's a lot of fun. Plays a lot like other World War II flight sims that we have known in the past, but is just easier without completely sacrificing aerodynamic realism. For the most part, it does, but not completely. And it felt like an interesting balance, you know, taking a hyper-realistic flight sim and toning it down to arcade, rather than taking a pure arcade experience and trying to introduce some concept of simulation to it.
Mm-hmm.
This seemed to result in a much better experience. I played for like 2 hours, and I hadn't intended to. So, you know, it's demo, it's free download, and it is fucking pretty. Like, really pretty.
Gorgeous.
So, I highly recommend, it's on the PS3 as well, so I would recommend, I would ask of you that you download it and at least look at it. It is very interesting game.
I love the little picture-in-picture of, like, when I'm hitting my targets. In the arcade version, of course.
Well, I mean, that's a long...
I've never played this flight sim thing.
Well, no, it's just a flight sim thing. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in flight sims.
You know, let me take that back. I've never played a flight sim.
You never played, like, a combat flight sim.
Yeah, I never played a combat flight sim. The only sim I ever played was,
Flight Sim 9.
Yeah,
Flight Sim 9. And the only reason you did that is so that you could download the really cool, whatever the hell that plane was called, from Firefox.
Oh, yeah.
With the
Clint Eastwood
with
face.
Little 2D Clint Eastwood in it, yeah. That was really cool.
Yep. That thing's fast.
Yeah.
I wanted a sea duck.
I never got a sea duck, but I did get... I did get old boy's Grumman Goose from Tales of the Gold Monkey.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
That was pretty good shit.
Yeah.
And I never did get a sea duck, though. I also got, you know, every iteration of the bat plane imaginable.
Speaking of,
yes.
Perfect time.
Little bump set spike for you there.
Yeah, perfect time to bring up the Batman demo.
The Batman demo.
So I'm glad you guys liked it. It was weird. You and I were talking about this on the way to the movie. I was almost called it a film. It doesn't deserve that.
I wonder if we'll get to that later.
Distinction. We probably will. we normally hit almost damn near everything, so we probably will. But no, we were talking to you about it, and I played at E3, but I didn't play through the entire thing. They would get me to certain rooms, like, oh, let me take you to this room. They took me to the main room that's at the end of the demo, and I got to do the four guys there, fight with them, and realize, yes, you don't fuck around with guys who have guns. You're not a brick. You're gonna die. And so I just played around with it there and whatever, but I enjoyed it so much sitting at home.
Playing it in your own space.
Not having 800 different things and people around and doing whatever and worrying about my next appointment and everything else, just playing it, relaxing. Very, very, it was worth going through like 3 or 4 times, just, you know, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to sneak around this guy. I'm going to walk behind him, you know. I would take out all the guys in the room save for one, and then I'll just kind of walk behind him a lot. And then when he stopped, I'd zip out of the fucking way. I'm like, okay, let's walk around some more. It was very, very fun just to do stuff like that. So there's a real good sense, and that I didn't get, obviously, at E3, but there's a real good sense that, yes, this is Batman. And I can't wait to play with my little detective shit.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Some people were saying, the voice acting is kind of weird. And I kind of agreed with them at first until I realized that, no. That's his internal dialogue talking to you. It's a very subtle thing. But yeah, when he has internal dialogue with himself, it's Bruce Wayne. He's just talking to himself.
Yes.
But anytime he speaks to any character outside of that, it's got that more...
Yeah, he does it like twice during the demo. There's like a section when like... And you've seen this in all the promotional material, most like there's a section when, like, you know, Harley Quinn's like talking shit to him or whatever, and he's like talking about, like, Harley thinks she's got me locked in this room, but she's never been that smart. And it's like the way he says it to himself is it's an aside, you know. It's and it is very clearly like this. It's not quite the chirpy, cheery Bruce.
I was going to say,
they go out of their way, when he's playing the role of Bruce.
Of Bruce, right. It's more like when he's talking to Alfred.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, man, and I caught on the same, I'm like, see? See?
Mm-hmm.
See? You need to buy this. If you don't buy this game, I'm never going to fucking forgive you. I don't even know that it's going to be great all the way through. It's just like, this level of respect for the details.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's great. Well,
it's an important distinction when somebody does something that subtle with the voice acting, even though not everybody might catch it. And at first it may seem jarring, but when you realize why, it actually becomes almost immeasurably more interesting
totally.
than it was confusing, you know? Appreciate that sort of stuff. Yeah. Hey, that's like, that's drama, man. That's dramatic. That's dramatic tools right there. That's the problem. It's, so we're not used to that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's what we've said. It's respect for the property. It's respect for the character and the and everything else. It's just.
And I mean the combat. This was actually a lot of people's first chance to play the combat. You know, sitting in a GameStop playing their little exclusive kiosk demo. That's all you got to do. So I've been happy with the, you know, kick, punch, it's all in your mind sort of shit for a while now.
Yeah, I was a little, before I got to play more of this, I was like, I'm not really interested in those challenge rooms. I'm more interested in this. Then the more I played, the more I was like, I wish those guys didn't have guns. I really want to get down there and do my hand-to-hand. I kind of like how you can chain that shit and flow and...
And it's...
You get that combo right. It's
fighting beautiful. Them is not hard. Yes, there's a goofy little indicator above their head. And really, even without it, as apparently, either as the game progresses or as the difficulty increases, or both, you don't get the little indicator that shows up over their head that they're about to attack for you to do a counter.
Okay.
But it's not a difficult thing to time if you're paying attention to the fight. In its own way, it reminded me very much of particularly the later stages of Assassin's Creed. That's stages cool. I enjoyed a great deal. Where I would, toward the end of the game, I would just go pick fights to see how many guards I could get to attack me. And with like 15 guards attacking me, that shit was fun, dude.
Yeah.
Like, bouncing from guy to guy, counter to block to parry to riposte to,
which is all they did
to
the
knife through the skull.
Creed, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. That was really fun. And this basically starts you there. But you build your combos as you string combos. So you start with, you know, punching some guy in the nose, just a straight up, like, whatever, punch him in the fucking nose. Mm-hmm. And then as guys sneak up behind you and you do a counter, and as you sort of, like, direct Batman in a particular path through the group of enemies that's surrounding him, and sort of chain these jumping, spinning capoeira combos, he becomes more... and more
Batman.
Freeform and like varied in what he will do, and his style becomes very, 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 very interesting.
Cool.
And so that's what you build into. So yes, it can be just a bunch of, you know, nose punching, you know, face bruising, brawling, but it becomes interesting if you can sustain it.
And as we know in the challenge rooms, the difficulty, you know, I think, was it four rounds?
In the demo we played,
In the demo we played, it was four rounds. It was like started out with a small group, and then the second round they added, and then by the fourth round, you had a shit ton
And
of
some
guys.
Of them had, like, bats and, like, you know,
which melee weapons
with stuff in them.
Melee weapons are not a problem. It's when they put guns in their hand that...
Well, it changes the nature of the battle when they put guns in their hand.
With guns, you get the high ground, motherfucker.
You get the high ground, you have to seriously consider your batarang. As an option. Because you can, like, you know, battering them in the knee or battering them in the elbow.
Did you ever try that thing like that. I mentioned, or you can watch the...
I didn't.
Oh, okay, cool.
I didn't.
I was wondering.
But no, I played it all... I mean, I played it through... I played all three platforms, played the demo on all three platforms, and I played it through at least twice on all three. And I did what I love to do so very much, which is, like, get to a certain point on the PS3 version and then get there on the 360 version.
Yeah.
And then, you know...
Yeah,
like toggle my little AV adapter back and forth.
Sure.
Anybody who's played it will know this, but see, this is the thing, man. Like, this motherfucker runs like hot shit, dude. It runs really well on all three platforms. It's fast. It's clean. The controls are tight. The frame rate is very high.
Yeah.
It is very, very, very nice on all three. And after, like, extensive comparisons, and I will reiterate, I don't have, like, a reference monitor or anything, I can only say that, you know, it's not a very good TV. It's an okay LCD television. But they're both... I'm seeing them both in the same environment with all the settings the same. I believe the 360 version is running in a slightly, and I do mean slightly, higher resolution, which is only noticeable when looking at motionless or relatively motionless character models. Mm-hmm. Like, right after Batman breaks through the glass and he fights the room full of goons, mm-hmm. like you saw in the video, you're not, like, your next move is available, but you don't have to take it. So I, like, kind of turned around and I looked back up at him and at the guard that was still in the room with him. And because of all of the different shapes that make a character model, it was just ever so slightly jaggier on the PS3 than the 360. And I would only know that by switching back and forth really quick between the two. But as often seems to be the case, the 360 version, to me, came off ever so slightly more washed out. The blacks were a little crisper and deeper, I think, and I think I liked the lighting and shadowing on the PS3 version. But honestly, if you didn't know you were actively swapping between the two, you would probably not be able to distinguish.
Do you use the same kind of cables on both systems?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They're both good quality component cables.
Okay.
So
the reason I asked is, I, on some of the stuff on my TV, I use HDMI, and on others, I use composite.
Yeah,
and there's a very clear difference between the two.
I just wanted to rule that out. So, no, yeah. I don't use HDMI. And again, because they're running through the same...
they're going through that switch.
The same switch. So. Right. But yeah, I was really happy with that. And I was like, clearly... And I haven't seen the whole game, but I went through it with both. And I was like, this is, you know... Sorry, guys, but the difference is clearly, you know, in whatever, the engine you're working with, the amount of time you're willing to spend on it. And who the hell knows, man? Maybe the 2 months that they bumped it back is the difference between a noticeable difference and an indistinguishable difference between the platforms. Bless you.
Bless you. Maybe.
Hey.
PC version looks fucking hot, though.
Oh, yeah?
PC version looks really, really, really good. Like, really good.
I said we would talk about this in the...
Yeah, well...
In the PC thread, somebody said something. I was trying to go back
I've
and find it.
I've got to get a better PC.
Yeah, it looked... I mean, it looked... It looks good on the other two.
Yeah.
It is one of the least jarring changes, moves from, like, I'm going to play... Because I played the PC version first.
Yeah.
Just because that's where I was sitting when I saw the news. I was like, get mine. Get that demo. And, you know, and I... So I decided to play it, like... with the mouse keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, just give this a shot. Clearly, this is a controller-style game, but I'll play it with a mouse keyboard. It was good. It was really, really good with mouse and keyboard. I think... I feel like I'm playing... All right, imagine Sam Fisher was just way better at everything he does and had a grappling hook and stuff. That's kind of how it felt like I was playing. Like I had played... you know, various Splinter Cell games before. Mm-hmm. Only not as kludgy and slow, you know? I mean, he's Batman. He's, you know... He is a superhero. For even having lack of powers, he is a superhero. So he's a little bit more nimble than you can expect a real person to be. But and I've played Splinter Cell games on the PC and on the console, so in both cases, that's kind of how it felt. I was playing, and those kinds of games I think are always a little bit better on the console because I can control how fast I'm moving basically with an analog stick. Mm-hmm. I like that, you know, if I'm sneaking,
right?
I like that.
That's what gamepads are for.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't have
that's
one.
Why. Yeah, yeah.
But
I say that's, you know,
yeah,
my PC is going to be a TV couch gamepad based system. So
no, it's a good thing, man.
I would love to have a nicer one so I can, you know, run that shit at 1080p or whatever. Yeah. And
I was running, yeah. The problem, of course, well, I'll get to that in a second, but the mouse and keyboard controls actually worked really, really well. They were very clean,
yeah.
Like very sharp. So, I mean, in general, I was just pleased with the entire demo. I had already seen that first 10 minutes clip.
Yeah.
So I understood that the way the demo is edited, and again, a lot of people may not have seen that. So the flow of the demo, if somebody told me, this feels a little bit awkward and stilted, I would agree, because they've cut out some sections to just kind of get you to the meat of the demo quicker. Still get you there understanding what the concept is. Joker's been captured, and Gordon is there, and blah, 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 blah. But if you watch the first 10 minutes, you realize that the first 10 minutes is actually... a whole lot of really great in-character, in-control exposition. and gives you an excellent sense of what's really going on. Sets the mood just beautifully. I mean, the shot of like Croc coming out of the coming out of the freight elevator alone was like really, really nice. So, yeah. I mean, I was already in a good place with the game. I had already kind of put it in the space in my head that Infamous occupied, where it was like, I haven't really played it, but I know I want to buy it.
Yeah,
kind of thing. So it's, and it's definitely still there, even more there. My only problem with the PC was, like I've bitched to you about so often, is that, hey, see all these little bells and whistles here you can click? Yeah, you can't click them because you got a fucking ATI card. Yeah. So fuck off. And apparently in this case, anti-aliasing is considered, you know...
Exclusive.
Exclusive to NVIDIA cards. That's exactly what the tooltip said.
That's entirely fucked up.
Yeah, it is very fucked up. And I'm, you know...
I'm glad you've gone through all the pain of this so I won't have to.
Exactly. Man, my card, this is what kills me.
Because like, everywhere you look, they're like, oh yeah, you get an ATI card.
Immediately last night,
you
know,
price performance ATI.
Yeah. And if you look, look at, and it's funny how, and I am not as well versed, and I don't have my fingers plugged into all the same old sockets that I used to when I was exclusively a PC gamer.
Mm-hmm.
But any decent search, any halfway intelligent search of a comparison between the two results in hardware comparisons.
Yeah.
Which seems to be the only thing anybody is... And it's an easier thing to benchmark. We've been doing it for ages. God, yeah. It's very simple to benchmark one piece of hardware to another piece of hardware. If you have the expertise and the tools and the time and the means to get the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put together a reference machine and that's what you do, and it's cool. But it's very difficult to get any kind of comparison between the drivers, and not just the drivers, but the additional support software that comes with it, which I think is actually the real bane of any ATI user's existence, is the Catalyst Control Center.
Mm.
Buggiest, nastiest piece of shit that's ever gone in my system tray. And I just, you know, it's not a huge deal. Obviously, it's not huge, but I get really, really fucking tired of, here's a whole game where you just can't have anti-aliasing. And it's like, okay, well, I'll just go into the control center and, you know,
mm-hmm.
force it on in the background. And it's like, no, you can't do that, because we just don't fucking support anti-aliasing in the software. And it's like, what? I've been anti-aliasing shit for... 12 since I bought that second Voodoo 2, man. Like, that's why I bought that shit. I didn't, you know, feel like stopping in the future. So, whatever. I don't know. It's just, it's irritating. Game, I mean, it ran great. My card, in general, it's a 4850. You know, it's mm-hmm. an HD 4850. Great card.
Sure.
But I'm really sick of, like, it's gotten to the point where I kind of feel like, you remember a long time ago, when we were all congregating in that house, like the one in Blackwood,
mm-hmm.
where I used to live, and everybody would come in, we just had that permanent, the doors unlocked, come in and plug into the LAN kind of thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's back when, you probably didn't play it, but like Matt and I played it a lot, and Kevin played it, the Jane's USAF.
Okay.
It was like a survey sim, but like a really neat survey sim of a bunch of Jane's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not Jane, but it's just a bunch of modern fighters and things. And I remember that motherfucker actually had like a slider under the somewhere under the graphics options, and the motherfucker would stop at about like some quality slider stopped at like, you know, 80% of the way across, and that last little 20% was clearly labeled, "Bitch, you're still running a P2." This is only for people that have Pentium 3s. And I was like, you son of a bitch! Like, it wasn't even that I know people with better hardware have better looking shit. It was like, you couldn't even have the decency to remove it from my view. You had to taunt me with it. That sort of thing really aggravates me. I don't like that. I really don't like those things being taken away from me. So, I'm just, you know, I'm tired of the little irritations that seem to be forever a part of ATI's drivers. And I can't find any anecdotal complaints about NVIDIA's stuff. I find that that it all seems to be pretty easy to use.
Yeah, you say something about that, like, I think we were talking about, I don't know if it was Champions or something else, but up at the top of the forum, there'll be, like, sticky for ATI users.
No, it was in 3.2, the update for World of Warcraft that happened last Tuesday. I went home, and, like, I updated him, doing all my whatever, you know, and, like, some of the problems with that game stem from the fact that they've been kind of cobbling. They do a good job, but it's an old engine. And it was never an engine that was designed to be graphically complex. It was always designed to sell you the idea through design. Mm-hmm. And as time has gone on, people have upgraded their boxes, and it's like, hey, upgrade your shit a little, make it look better. And they do. They added some dynamic shadowing, which is really nice. It adds a lot of depth to the world. But it's kind of problematic, and that and some aspects of the additional draw distance and things, the ATI cards have just not really liked a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And then in this update, they added some sort of new fancy shit going on in the background of the shadow rendering that we couldn't necessarily tell at first what it was for. And ATI users certainly couldn't tell because it fucking makes all the shadows in the game, you know, strobe like a motherfucker. And I went to the sport forums, and there was a sticky right there. It was like, nah, if you're using, you know, an ATI card, you got to disable this thing. Just go into the console and disable this thing. It's like, all right, well, that's great, man. That's cool. I'm used to this by now. I'm getting very, very used to this. So, happens all the time. I mean, you know, and it was there was another thing related to that in Champions as well. So maybe. I don't know. I'm not even going to be that gracious. I'm not going to say that maybe this is just me, because it's not. I've read around enough about it that, and I know that I've read a few things where people are just like, I hate NVIDIA. I'm going back to ATI. It's like, and it always seems to be like, I hate this card, or this card's just stupid, or the card is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems to be really easy to deal with, because you can, as we said before, shop really, really easily for individual card performance. And then, or, you know, chipset performance.
Right.
And then the, whatever the hell they're called, the card maker, the individual card maker, their performance. So, whatever. I was kind of done with it. I mean, the demo still looked brilliant, and I didn't even think about any of that shit when I was playing it, except when I went to the option screen.
To adjust, and there it was.
So I was just like, nah, pissed about it.
Yeah, Hunter X280 had posted something, and he's like, ooh, I really want to see the physics stuff and everything, but then I said, oh, that's something we'll definitely talk about. And he said, it's funny, I love my ATI 4870, which is what he's got. Mm-hmm. But NVIDIA seems to get all the cool little extras.
They do.
When he bought the card, he says the 4870 was the card to buy if you had the money.
That was a little over a year ago or about a year ago or something like that.
But at the time, he says he didn't think that NVIDIA had announced the physics capabilities.
They had not.
Yeah.
They had not.
So he might have considered it. And he says Batman's not the only game. Mirror's Edge on the PC also takes it.
That was actually...
That was a rep.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that looked nice.
It's just... It's little bells and whistles, and it's the fact that it's apparently a lot easier to deal with in some respects. For the software, the driver set itself is a better piece of programming for certain people to deal with, and it just seems to be... I don't know. It seems to have fewer problems. So, not that I'm super pissed about it. I've loved my card and everything. It's great. I just, you know, and if anybody else, clearly this is, you know, advertising for anybody else to have their say in the matter. But
and it might seem trivial for some.
And by the way, if anybody hears this and wants to offer suggestions, sometime in the next couple months, I'd like to upgrade my card again, and this time go with an NVIDIA. And I'm not sure what the guy is mm-hmm. right now, because I know that, like always, there's some stuff about to come out.
Sure.
There's always some stuff about to come out, so I'm never really worried about that.
But, Scott, I'm sorry. I know it seems trivial, but coming from playing, why is the name? City of Heroes. I would run around in the game, in the Batman demo, just so I could see his cape move.
It was good.
when City of Heroes came out and they gave capes, it was like, oh, look at that. My cape's moving. I got a cape.
Yep.
But this, and I see that, I was just like, oh, that's so nice. It's really, and I'm very curious as to how that looks on a PC and anything.
Yeah. You know, well, it looks good on everything he does. When he does the glide kick, when he does the cape stun, like, it all looks right, you know? So, I was, you know, it wasn't like I was blown away or impressed by the demo, because this, it's, I expected it to be top-notch, be really clean and really pro. I was just happy that in basically every moment of the game, I was really, what I hoped would be the case was actually proven for the most part, you know, so we'll see. Yeah.
So what else did you play this weekend?
The fuck else did I play this weekend? I got back into Wolverine.
I saw you playing that.
Yeah.
Did you rent that? Or did you
pick
that? Okay.
No. I rented it. I wanted to play. I got a couple things that I never finished that I kind of like to finish before Batman comes out. Red Faction and Wolverine. Mainly. And Killzone 2. Those three things. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it, but I might be able to. I wanted to play those three things before. Yeah. Before Batman came out, so... And I missed Wolverine. I didn't get a chance to finish it. That kind of made me sad.
Yeah.
So...
Good superhero games.
Yeah, man. I'm in the
good
mood.
Comic book superhero games. It's great.
Played that. I mean, it's, what? A week since the new patch, so I played World of Warcraft. As always, to see the new stuff, which is whatever.
You played something else.
The fuck else did I play? I don't remember, dude. Why don't you tell me?
Explosion Man.
Oh, I played Explosion Man.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, I finally played that.
What'd you think? And how much did you play?
I have only gotten to 114, I think.
Okay.
113. I think I finished 113.
Okay. So you played enough for the difficulty to start ramping up on you then.
Yeah, and I would check my friends list every single time I cleared. That was the first thing I would do.
Yeah.
I'd be like, how much do I suck? And like most of the time, I'd say like, you know, half the time I was right in the middle, quarter of the time I was like in the top third of my friends list, quarter of the time I was in the bottom third, but like one time I was dead last because I had to keep doing something over and over and over and over again. And it was a little... I was a little frustrated with the one thing I had to do, because it wasn't... I didn't mind, like... There were two things I didn't like. One was being saved right before... Like, a sequence would begin, but it would require that I watch some little scientist run across the screen and animate the switching, the pulling of a switch before I could then control myself. And like that. Because every time I died... Because it... Immediately following that was a difficult sequence, a tricky sequence. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's cool. But now every time I come back, I have to watch that little thing. That gets annoying.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how to do a thing over and over does not get annoying for me, really. But that particular thing I didn't like.
Gets about 100 times more annoying when you're playing on hardcore mode.
Yeah.
I mean, because there are no checkpoints in hardcore mode.
Oh, yeah.
So if you fail once, you have to go... And that there was that one level where they introduced you to Donut Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to watch over and over and over again. Because there was some other part way down in the level that I kept screwing up.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's why I... that's why I quit playing Guitar Hero, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, and I know that they eventually kind of changed that for stuff, but it was like, you know, the crazy-ass guitar solo at the end is what's kicking my ass. I don't want to play through this bullshit rhythm section 20 more times just to get to the third note on this crazy riff and fail out.
Good point.
I'm sick of this shit. And supposedly they fixed that in some other version, but I was like, what, I had already like decided I didn't want to do that anymore. So, it's not that bad. It was just like, I'm tired of watching you flip that switch. But whatever. That was fine. And then there was like one other segment where it was like, I know what I have to do. It's very clear what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
After like two tries, I knew what I needed to do, but I couldn't... Everything I had to do was reliant on him... Because his jumps are splodes and not jumps, it's very dependent on kind of what you're doing right before you splode jump.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you'll get the nice boost the way you should, and sometimes he'll kind of do what he's supposed to do and sort of double jump. And sometimes it wasn't, he didn't really. He would like jump in the air, and then it would kind of do a thing to splode again and kind of double jump. But if I didn't have the proper momentum, like, the second splode would kill whatever momentum I did have.
Yeah.
So there was like a sequence where like you basically like fall all the way down to this thing, trip a switch, you know, trigger this thing, then the walls start closing in on you.
Right.
Walls you can't touch, the spiked walls. And then you have to like jump up onto this platform and then jump, and it's like a exploding barrel.
Right.
Like barrel, barrel, barrel on out. And either he wouldn't jump properly onto the thing, onto the first platform, or the barrel jump would kick me the wrong way. And I was like, into the spiked wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not so much with that. I mean, it didn't kill me forever. You know, when I got past it, it was okay. And I never, you know, felt like throwing my controller or anything. But where difficulty's concerned, that's the kind of thing I don't like. It's like, well, you know, it's there's like a pixel difference, it seemed like, in terms of which direction the barrel was going to kick me. So, not a big deal, but that was it. The rest of it I was actually fine with. And I'm not doing much exploring. If I happen to find a piece of cake laying around, I'll take a cake.
Not trying to get the cake?
No. I'm not interested in that shit. I'm interested in getting through this. So, I mean, it's funny, man. I like seeing him do a big gobble hug on that cake or whatever he's doing. Like, that's fun.
Yay, yeah. Cake!
Like, that's pretty cool and creepy looking, but I like it. It's interesting. Not my thing. You know, I don't play the Mega Mans. I don't really go in for like the timing difficult platformer.
Right.
It's never been my deal ever since they forgot to, you know, do the ending of Blaster Master. So, but it's good fun. I mean, it's another thing I sat down and I was like, oh, I'll play this because, you know, Scott will complain if I haven't played it. And then I played it for, like, you know, way too long in one sitting. So I enjoyed it. I am enjoying it a lot, I guess. But like I said, I have no interest in, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I got some achievement for completing an arbitrary number of levels, and I was like, that's exactly the sort of achievement I like to get. Totally arbitrary. So I'm not going to collect some stuff. I'm not going to eat cake or whatever. I'm just not going to do that shit. Nope. It's not what I'm about.
I played Splendor Man 2. I went through and I got all my cakes.
There's already a second one?
No. I played through it as well. Let me put it that way. I played through Splendor Man as well. I went back.
Damn, and people were pissed when the DLC for Maw came out quick.
Hey, I did pick up some DLC for this quick. I got all my cakes, and I got my Gandhi achievement.
Ah, yeah. Did you get it by trying, or did you get it on accident?
Oh, no, I got it by trying.
What the hell is your Gandhi achievement? What is that?
Complete a level without killing any scientists.
The hell would I want to do that?
I got mine on accident, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went through because I wanted the achievement. And
that is something I go out of my way to do. If I see a fucking scientist somewhere,
yeah,
like, come here, I need to meet.
Even if I don't have to go that way, it's like, let me get, hey, you're standing there, you're going to die.
Are you getting the steak achievement yet?
No, but I'm going to get it.
Okay.
I think that is what I'm all about.
Yeah.
So, I'll do that.
Omaha Steaks, yum.
I started going through on hardcore mode, and I got through level one, stage one.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try hardcore.
I'm giving it a try, but I am scared to death of the next two stages.
No, man, fuck that.
With the terror that one gave me. So I went through that. I played a little bit of Monkey Island, not too much. Played the big demos.
When the developer like says, you know, when you unlock it, like, you've unlocked hardcore mode. Don't play it. It's ridiculous. You know, there's no mid-level saves. You die, you go back to the beginning. You should not do this. Like, I'll take them at their word, man. That didn't sound fun, so.
It wasn't. Most of the levels were not fun.
Once again, I'm sad that RJ doesn't have a 360.
Yeah.
So I want to play it now.
I did the Sturmovik demo.
I want to play hardcore mode.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, Jesus. You would love that. But I played the Sermon demo, the Batman demo, and me and Jeremy played a little bit of 1 versus 100 on Friday night.
Yep. Gabe and Tycho happened to be there.
Yeah.
Like doing their thing with it.
Questions
which I didn't even know. I was just like, I've never tried this. There's one coming up. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
see what this is. And then you were there, and Suave Peanut was there, and who else was there?
Restless Avenger was there. Spigot stopped by. He wasn't in the group with us.
One thing that was kind of cool about it was we all, like, joined the same party.
Okay.
And, like, when someone would drop out of some, because there's, like, four people, you know, together on their little screen, when somebody would leave, like, their four-player group, like, it just kind of yanked me out of my group and stuck me in with them, because we were in the same party, apparently.
Oh, interesting.
Because, like, Scott would, you know, drop and join and drop and join, because there's something wrong with his router, apparently. And it always, like, made the effort to, like, yank him back into our
group. Well, that's because I had the update. That's because I had the Xbox Live preview.
Okay.
Before, you had to manually find your party and join back.
I wasn't talking about the party, though.
Are you talking about... Oh, you're talking about 1 versus 100 itself.
That's what we were talking about, yeah.
Well, you'd mentioned that we were in a party and then we were on the screen together, because we were in a party.
I was talking about that it put us in the same game because we were in the same party.
At times.
Ugh. I don't even know what that means.
No, at times it didn't.
That's because the game was full. Like, there were already four people in there. But if one of them left, it took either you or me or whoever from where
it
we
would
were
match
and put
from
us
the
in
party.
There.
No, I'd have to go back and click. I'd have to find you guys, join session in progress. I'd have to click on that. It didn't automatically connect me back.
You're thinking of the wrong thing. He's talking about the group in the game. You're talking about the party.
No. Group in the game. No, I understand. If I dropped completely, I would drop also out of the game and then out of the party. And it would reconnect me to the party. But in order to get back into the game, I would go in and it would just send me out alone and I'd be answering questions. And I'm like, hey, you guys told me, hey, there's a space available.
Remember? Yeah.
I had to go find Restless Avengers card and say join session in progress. I clicked on it and then it would reconnect me to you guys.
That's weird because I never did that. It just like yanked me from where I was sitting and put me in there.
But I was maybe I was just in a rush. Maybe it was like, oh, there's space. I better get quick before something else happens. Maybe I should have waited to see if it would just do it by itself.
Yeah.
But I always figure that if I'm there and it's already attached me to three other people I have no idea who the fuck they are, I feel like I'm stuck there. Like, unless I make the effort to get out of that, it's not going to reconnect me. That's kind of what I felt like. But it could have been different. So, but yeah, that's what we played. RJ, what did you play?
Played a little more Blaze Blue online with some folks. Had a good time with that. But I gave it a break a little while. Started to get back on Fallout 3. And I found that place you were talking about, James, Dunwich Building.
I finally found
the Dunwich Building.
That's an uncomfortable place, even if you have a ghoul mask.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was almost along the lines of that that itchy, tasty moment of Resident Evil. You know, a little unsettling.
Yeah, it was very unsettling.
A little unsettling what was going on with that guy. Store was nice, but you pretty much had a feeling how it was going to end.
Because
you heard his voice, I think it was in the eighth recording. I think it was the seventh or eighth recording.
Oh, I have no idea. I never finished it. It's a good shot.
I mean, his his voice started changing, and you had pretty much a good idea what was happening to him.
Right.
And, when it was all said and done, you just wanted to get the hell out of Dodge.
That's awesome.
When it was all over with.
Glad you had the balls to do that, because I don't.
What? I thought you would, man.
No, man. I log into that. Look, I know where the last two bobbleheads are. I won't go get them, because both of those places freaked me out.
Which two places?
One of them's in the Dunwich Building.
Okay.
The other one's in Vault 69. Those are the two. It's the hallucination. It's the vault with the... Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
I've heard you talk about
it. I've read about what it is. I ain't going to go in there. I know where it is. I got to mark the memento right where the motherfucker is. I've been
up there.
Can you
shoot it?
Huh?
Yeah, whatever comes up there, can't you shoot it?
I don't think so.
Oh, great.
I mean, like, the Garys were bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just sort of unsettling in kind of a weird Gary sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
But, Gary? Gary! You know, that's creepy. It was Gary, right? If not, that sounds really stupid. Anyway. I know where they are. I just don't want to go in there. Every now and then I'll play the game and it's like, do I want to go do the pit now? Or I should take care of some old stuff. And it's like,
you know, you're going to have to get those two bobbleheads.
I ain't going to do that.
You know, you're going to have to get those two bobbleheads
eventually.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever. I'm on the PC version, motherfucker. I can cheat that shit to myself if I want to. I'll probably do it eventually. It's just, I've got a fucking shit sack full of DLC to get through. So
okay. Yeah.
I can convince myself that I'm not going to the Dunwich Building because I have more important things to do. Which is not the case. But
I think the funniest thing about the Dunwich Building was that the light from your Pip-Boy.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was like just not as effective as it used to be. I mean,
that
had to be like really, really close to the object for the light to even catch it at all. It's like the darkness just swallowed up the light before I could even get close to the object I was looking for.
Man, you love the. There are a lot of mods that change the light values on the PC version of Fallout. Basically, it's like there is no electrical grid in operation. And there are very few places that have electrical lighting at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, at night, like, there are no cities. There's none of that shit. With the exception of maybe some of downtown D.C. and, Megaton and Tenpenny, there's really nothing emitting light in the landscape. So it should be amazingly dark.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that have changed that so that the dark is like, really, really dark. Mm-hmm. And that shit's freaky because you'll get like your detected warning and you just know that there's a death claw lurking out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, and even if it turns out to be a mole rat, like, you just know it's a death claw.
Yeah.
It's very creepy. Very, very creepy in general.
Yeah, death claws aren't really a problem. I mean, if you got a dart gun, it's
if you got
really
a fucking dart gun, that shit's
dart
easy,
gun's fine.
Man.
Yeah.
No dart gun?
No, you got a problem. No
Can't
dart gun, you got a problem.
It's really bad. Yeah, I agree.
Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. Those two games is what I was playing this week.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to take a break.
Again, Scott doesn't care what I played. Like, he does this how often now?
No,
like,
before the show, you said you didn't get even a chance to play the demo. I figured you probably didn't play
it. I knew you were going to do that. I was waiting for it.
And when I said that I knew you had played.
But he always does this. He always does this. He doesn't like to give you any indication of what he played until it's time for him to talk about what he played.
Tell us what you played.
I played Splosion Man. Becky and I played a lot more of the multiplayer. We made it to the second world of levels, as it were, the 2-dash stuff.
Right.
And did like the first few in there. And we're trying to get all our cake. We're only missing one cake from the first set of worlds.
Yeah.
But we're missing like 3 out of 4 of the ones that we've played on the second set. Because it was getting late, and she was like, fuck it, I just want to like go to the next level and play something new. I don't want to keep trying to get the cake right now. We'll get it later. I was like, alright, that's fine. So, yeah. Enjoying the co-op Splosion Man.
Did you play anything else?
Nah, now I'm done.
Alright.
Now we can take a break. You asshole.
This is Clayton from the Immortal Machines PC Gaming Podcast, where every 2 weeks we discuss retro titles, current releases, and engage in stimulating debates about the state of the industry. Come join us anytime at immortalmachines.com and every 2 weeks for our podcast. Immortal Machines, can't die if you keep playing.
The hell did you do?
I was just zoomed in.
Jesus Christ, don't scare me like that.
It was moving well.
Shit was going fast.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Hey, welcome back.
Man, I got your goddamn timing now. I got your fucking number, pal.
All right, we're going to hit some news, and then we're going to hit the Twitters and the emails and stuff.
That was a long break, by the way. You wouldn't know that.
No, you wouldn't. It's only the length of whatever, how long that commercial is that you just heard, but in real time.
That was a little bit longer, so it's
much
later.
Off our game. We had an interruption.
It is much later.
We hope to never have one of those again.
Click, motherfucker. So, I didn't want a ton of news, was there? Right? I'm sure I starred some shit in my reader. Let me check. Well, to begin with, as of today, ta-da!
Yeah, everybody gets the preview.
All the fancy Xbox 360 whiz-bang is apparently active.
I am, oddly enough, I'm considering buying Mass Effect. I have the game, I just can't find it.
All right, well, to begin with, the pricing is bullshit, crazy, and sucks.
I agree. It's $20 for Mass Effect, though.
Yeah, and their regional pricing is all bonkers.
Oh,
their
regional
pricing is bonkers. And it's just bad. It should be cheaper. It should be like $15 in North America. So
yeah.
It's just not great. Hopefully they'll... This is what they've kind of done before, though. This is a very traditional pattern of behavior for them. Like, they limit availability. They're very cautious and very conservative in terms of how they introduce a new thing. Until they are just 100% sure that it's going to be a runaway success. And then they'll probably do something a little more interesting with it. So they've done that at all scales and levels with Live and on Xbox and stuff. So I'm sure that'll change. It's just disheartening. It's like, have a little bit of faith in the idea, enough at the outset to go beyond just posting it for sale and make the pricing extremely competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So that would.
No, I agree. I don't know if it'll ever get there, but I would love it to be that way. They give you the option though with those games to either pay money or use points.
Oh, okay. So it's the games alone that have the straight dollar payment option.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
You can either pay to prevent you from buying an overage of points or having to buy, there's not a card out there that will let you buy $20 worth of points, or is there?
Yeah, it's called 1600.
Is it the 1600 point card? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, some of them that are $30 or whatever doesn't have that.
No, that's the only retail values of cards I'm aware of.
It's like 20 and 50.
Are the 1600 and the 4000?
Yeah, 20 and 50 bucks. So instead of buying an overage, just pay that flat rate. You have no idea what we're talking about. Because you use the PlayStation Store, which is
He uses rational human funds. So, that's, talking about RJ, by the way. That's really cool. I find very interesting that, to whatever degree, and it's probably a very small degree, we've come right back around to the, I hate that you spend useless money on things that aren't even mine. You know? It's like, it's dumb. I'm not going to buy anything. Unless it's really super excellent cool. I agree. That lightsaber is pretty goddamned cool. Now, if I can get in a party with somebody, and, like, my cutesy stupid little avatar can, like, lightsaber fight with another guy.
Yeah.
Even if they do it on their own. I don't even necessarily need to control it, and I can do that for super cheap. Like, okay. Something like that I may have to buy. And I am a sucker for some cool stuff. I agree that by making so much of it purchasable, so much of the add-on clothing and bullshit for your avatar, it sort of devalues the idea of some of the unlockable style things, which I think are far greater. But, you know, don't generate revenue in the same way. It's whatever it is. I'm not going to spend any money on that stuff. I just think it's funny that it's like, this is useless and stupid, and you should never spend your money on it. It's like, whatever. Scott, I'm not going to belittle you for buying your Hoover-era avatar clothing. You know? If you want your goofy-looking avatar to look like he just, you know, road west in a Beverly Hillbillies truck escaping the Dust Bowl and looking to pick apples in California or whatever the hell happened in Grapes of Wrath. Like, you go right ahead, my friend. I think that's great. It took you all of, minutes of it going live for you to buy that shit for your avatar?
Yeah, I was like,
because I was reading the thread on Cog, and everybody was like debating the actual value of this.
Yeah, and I was like, and
Scott doesn't even participate in the debate. He doesn't raise or lower the level. Like, the bar remains unchallenged by Scott. He simply posts a picture of his little motherfucker all dressed up. Some shit like...
I still haven't bought a prop yet, though.
That was funny, though. It was really funny.
I still haven't bought, like, the Q-tip or the chicken in the pulley or the... I didn't buy the light. The lightsaber wasn't even available during the preview.
Oh, yeah.
During all that complaints, I was like, you know, yeah, that lightsaber is overpriced. $5, that's a little much, but... Fuck, if they ever give me a full-on Batman costume, I'll pay them $10 to put that on my avatar.
I bet.
You
want to talk about, like, incentivizing me to do some stuff? If you want to give my dude a cowl and an awesome cape for beating Batman on the hardest difficulty, you bet your ass I would change my tune about the difficulty in games, about what I'm willing to do, because that's very cool. We've said forever now. That's exactly how rewards in the game should be tied to the stupid-looking avatars. So, and it's going to happen. They're going to be done. I just don't know. This is something that Microsoft has no problem embracing out of the gate, is a price structure for pointless shit.
Mm-hmm.
And pointless shit that's earned instead of outright bought clearly has much more value. Still pointless shit, but, you know, whatever. It's a frill.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know. I just think it would be neat because then somebody would see it and be like, motherfucker.
Well, I mean,
you beat that hard shit that I haven't beaten. Or, yeah, you and I beat the same cool hard shit. Yeah, so whatever.
It's not as cool. It's fine. And Explosion Man gives you a
yeah, no, no, no. I know. I'm just taking the opportunity to say that. But I don't care. It's fun to, you know, you want to spend your money on that, it's cool. I don't give a shit. I did notice today, I was actually cleaning out my friends list because I got some people that just have never been on ever. And I was like, whatever. I'm, you know, I've got like 3 slots left. I need to, I want some new friends.
Yeah.
Friends that log on once or twice a year. So I was cleaning a couple things off. And I noticed how much more genuine my friends, not my friends list, but the avatars have become. And it's much easier for me to kind of peruse, because I was going through the list on Xbox Live,
mm-hmm.
the online, live.xbox.com or whatever. And it used to be at least a third of my friends list was made of people who had honestly gone like for every option on the avatar and made the silliest thing they could, which is fine, you know, like whatever, like multicolored weird looking guys with strange hats and weird mustaches,
right,
pink mustaches. I was like, oh, whatever, it's fine, you know, you want to do that, it's cool. But like I noticed, like kind of scrolling through it, all of the avatars, people seem to be everything seemed to look more like a real person. Things that I believe at one time looked really kind of fanciful and, you know, Cirque du Soleil.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have kind of changed their avatars and, like, they all seem to more closely represent real humans. I don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah.
Like, has the concept of just the weird-looking avatar sort of decayed and the idea of, like, looking like yourself actually matured? I love the fact that my, as stupid as my avatar is, because they're all stupid, like, I remember being able to create it, and, like, you had said that, like, you and Becky saw my avatar for the first time. And it's just like, whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
some tall, skinny guy with, like, a scowl,
yep,
you know?
Yep.
And you're like, oh, that's it, perfect. That's him, perfect. Like, it's fine, you know, that's kind of cool. So that's totally an aside, not related to anything. It just seems like more people have, you know, gained an interest in making them.
Yeah.
Not something else. I don't know. It's weird. Whether that means more people are willing to take ownership of the avatars over time, I don't know. I don't know what it means. Also, I was looking around to see if anybody was dressed weird. And it was only Scott, who is impervious to people's discussions about the meaning of the money they spend. He's like, whatever, look at my hat.
Yeah. I got goggles on that hat, motherfucker. Look, I'm wearing black gloves, and I got a pocket watch.
Yeah. That was cool. So that's up. That's very good.
Yeah, it'll run fast for you, and give it about 2 months, and yeah, it'll start to slow down.
Bunch of dog shit.
Until the next one. But yeah.
While you're waiting for it to slow down, stop playing Halo 2. How about it?
Please! I want my friends list to be bigger.
I don't even understand that complaint. Like, Jeremy and I talked about it earlier today, and I'm like, whatever. I don't exactly understand that, but, you know, there've got to be other solutions. Well, you were suggesting, like, basically just porting that shit over to...
Yeah, port Halo 2 to the 360. Hell, you know, I don't know. It's not Microsoft. I mean, it's Microsoft, so they'd never do this. But
yeah,
release that shit for free for everybody that's, you know, insists right on playing Halo 2.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, sorry, if you're still playing on an old Xbox, fuck you.
Yeah.
We gotta turn it off.
Sacrifices must be made.
Yeah.
You know.
Look, you can have it for free if you get a 360. How about that?
Sorry, all of you exclusive Xbox players, but sometimes the bodies must be scattered amongst the foundations for the future to grow. So, tough shit.
Yeah.
By Reach.
Yeah.
So whatever.
The tree of Xbox Live must be watered with the blood of Halo 2 players.
That's an excellent.
So that my friends list may grow.
That's what I'm saying.
That's very good. Thank you for reaching back to a little political commentary we had earlier today. Cool, man. Bring a gun to an Obama rally. Man, that's real smart, dude. You do that. And then act like, why is that weird? I'm in New Hampshire. We shake hands and we're all used to guns. And I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said. That's cool, dude. Keep doing your crazy eyes. I've met guys like you before. I'm saying, that's some real smoking gun material right there. But whatever. Yeah, so get rid of that.
We had 2 more delays. Singularity got delayed.
Till when?
2010.
That shit was already delayed to 2010.
Yeah.
What the hell are you reading?
I'm reading from this week's news.
Oh. Shit was already delayed before this week.
That news fell into the singularity and then came out.
Yeah, damn it. Good job.
Dragon Age got pushed back to November.
Yeah, that was fun. Not enough people had fun with that headline. Like, I was expecting a lot of people to, you know, yank chains, like, mercilessly with that news, but nobody did it, really.
And then, not surprisingly, StarCraft II was delayed.
Yeah, it's not fair to say delay. It's not.
It's not. You're exactly right.
It's not. Blizzard doesn't give dates until Blizzard gives dates. They will sometimes, you know, indicate, but they've long said that, like, whatever, you kind of know when we're starting the beta, and that's at BlizzCon at the end of the month. And once we start the beta, then we run the beta. And the beta kind of determines the launch window. So I never expected November. But not to go on about it, but on the break you had asked me something about the WoW stuff, which sort of seeped out from the WoW world and drizzled onto some of the other things,
mm-hmm.
which was the new races announced, new expansion announced, all that other stuff. And it's not announced. And I think I've talked here before about the speculation, but, like, there's not an announcement. I mean, when there's an announcement, and that's all there is to it. But it's really weird this time because there is no announcement. There's just leak of information. The idea is that at BlizzCon, or coming up soon, the reality is at BlizzCon, that they'll announce the next World of Warcraft expansion. Well, we just fucking had one of those less than a year ago. It doesn't matter. The way they treat World of Warcraft is kind of like clockwork now. And if you pay attention, or if you've been playing long enough and have cared long enough to how they work and how they deal with very secretive information, it becomes a really fun game to see how they do things. They don't hide their patterns from you. They just don't admit information until they're ready to do it. But they don't hide their patterns. And they don't make any effort to deviate from their patterns. So if you learn them, then you can kind of predict them and put together leaks and figure out what's what. Well, it basically boils down to, much like they did for Burning Crusade, Blizzard copyrighted the whole Cataclysm name ways back. I think it was like 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, which fits for the timeline. Cataclysm, people immediately drew, understood kind of referred to certain events in World of Warcraft lore that hadn't occurred yet, and were thought to occur at some point in some expansion sometime. And when they copyrighted that name, fits perfectly within the time of year and the relationship to what's happening in the game in terms of point releases, point updates, that they did with Burning Crusade. Copyrighted Burning Crusade, it referred to stuff we knew about 2.5 months before, 2 months or so before BlizzCon, which is where they like to announce their shit, you know. It works out perfectly. Cataclysm sort of refers to the Sundering, which is the thing that happened in history, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't fucking matter. Cataclysm is going to be the next expansion, and I think anybody that knows how Blizzard does their thing is pretty sure of it. I mean, maybe we're wrong. Maybe it's one of the other projects they've got going, but it'll be Cataclysm. And then they have the stupid little shit where, like, every year at Halloween, they have these crazy little in-game events, and one of the things that you can get are these stupid little, like, masks. They're retarded-looking. They look like giant cardboard masks that you can put on your character of another race. And it's just some stupid-looking cartoon mask. It's a fun little dumb thing that you collect. And they are always of the other player races. And when the new patch data went live on the test realm a few weeks back, about a month ago, somebody data mined all the new shit in it, because they do that every fucking time. They go in there, they dig out what's in there, you know, compare it to the live code and see what's different and sort of infer what updates are coming. You know, are they adding anything new for a holiday event, stuff like this. That's always what they look for, because a major content update is when they like to put that data into the game so that the seasonal, you know, whatever ridiculous sort of stuff they're going to do doesn't require major downloads for anybody. It'll require small weekly maintenance, maybe a tiny download, and then it's active. And they found these two new masks. Well, four new masks. A male and a female version, each of two separate races. Male and female goblin, and male and female worgen. It doesn't take much for anybody that follows the game to piece together that these are clearly player races because it's male and female of each. And that player races are, have always been these things, you know. Kind of put that together with some hints in the lore that they've added. And if for anybody that's been paying attention long enough, you can find references to this race and this race are going to be the two new player races going back 4 fucking years. And you can find a lot of things, you know. But there were, in my opinion, before there we had any strong indication of, of the two races that were added in Burning Crusade, there was a really, really strong lead, some leaked information, including the dialogue voiceover for the racial intro, which every single race gets, a brief description while the camera's doing a flyover of the starting lands, introducing the character. And there was a script supposedly leaked for the Worgen. And the Worgen have an interesting attachment to the Alliance. They're a very evil sort of werewolf race. But there's a section in a certain place that's entirely cut off from the plague, which kind of dominates the storyline of the game. And these were Alliance-friendly, good people humans. And there was a strong indication that the Goblin and Worgen were going to be the thing for Burning Crusade, but it didn't really match with the whole going to Outland thing very well. And then when we learned what it was, that pair was kind of given up. To see that pair come back around again, specifically matched together, and with each one, and a lot of people are saying Worgen make no sense for the Alliance, but they do make perfect fucking sense. There are a lot of evil Worgen races, but what we're talking about here are, and this is only for anybody that knows what I'm talking about, are the Worgen behind the Greymane Wall in Gilneas, which is a section of, like, south of Silverpine Forest. Those guys will be Alliance players, particularly since their area already dumps out into a perfect zone for Alliance questing, like right around Westfall. So. And the Goblins, their first introduction into the Warcraft series was in service to the Horde. So even though they're generally a neutral race, they have a strong affiliation with the Horde, so it makes perfect sense. And both of them are positioned, assuming they'll add the nation of Kul Tiras, which was like very, very naval in its organization, a very strong, the strongest naval power in World of Warcraft, had a strong relationship with like where the Worgen are going to start, and the Goblins live on an island out in the middle of the thing, in the middle of the ocean. And the belief is that the next endgame will focus around stuff that's happening right out there in the middle of the ocean. So I think it's a done deal. A lot of people think it's no more valid than any other leak. But you cap it off with the fact that WoW Insider, or WoW.com, like, is a... For being a blog about an MMO, they're good about this stuff. And they announced that this is leaked and more or less proven. And they don't really do that. They don't horse around bullshit, and they try to be pretty journalistic about this stuff. And they have a great record. You can't really complain about their record. And they would never confirm a leak like this if it wasn't confirmed. They just wouldn't do it. They have no past behavior of doing this kind of thing. So, and a lot of past behavior of being absolutely fucking correct on leaks. So it's basically leaked and done. The question now is whether Blizzard did that on purpose or not, you know. Blizzard always likes to fiddle around when there's other MMOs coming out. And, I don't know, Ion is getting an awful lot of attention for being pretty and having wings. So, what are you going to do? But anyway, no, that is a very real thing. And I am on the side of confirmed Zor. This is absolutely going to happen. So, and that's it. That's my final word on that.
All right, jump it in Twitter.
Twitter, Twitter, Twitter.
Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. Which, by the way, James, welcome to Twitter.
I've been on Twitter, man.
Oh, okay.
I just haven't followed the show.
Oh, gotcha. Nor me, apparently.
It's fun, because, like, I can do things on the internet now from work.
Oh, well, that's true, yeah. I like that, too.
Well, yeah, I can get a lot of
shit. Boy, we're going to have a whole show dedicated to...
No, I told you, maybe we are, maybe we aren't. It depends.
Yeah, we are. I just don't know when. But one day. One day. Anyway, on to Twitter. Let's see. Spigot chimed in and said, ah, Fear Effect. There's a series I'd like to see in HD.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Count Elmdor says, the Book of Eli happens to be written by Gary Whitta, a games journalism veteran.
Yeah, I didn't even get to reply to him, but like...
He also wrote a treatment for the Warcraft movie.
His thing about me, thing about Eli Vance really was true. I was totally terrified that I accidentally racially profiled a game character before. That's why I was like, oh, shit. I better not say anything more about that. I don't want to have made the wrong decision.
Shit. I don't know his name. GV Suda HC sent me a link about how to pronounce names. This should help with pronouncing names. There is a site called pronouncenames.com. And they ask you, they're like, here are names we're missing. Please send in a pronunciation if you know how to pronounce these names.
Shit, that's really kind of neat.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a database of pronouncing names.
Have you...
Well, I'm going to input his and see what I can get. So I don't know how to pronounce that. But anyway, Shodan 2020, I own Fear Effect. Haven't beaten it yet. I did run through a Hong Kong construction site in nothing but a towel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did. That's pretty cool, too.
SBP Tool says, I played and heart both Crimson Skies. They blur together, if that helps compare them. So much better, so much better and more than just turning circles.
No, that's true. I mean, it's a lot of flight sims are, you know, turning circles. And in any, you know, not so much anymore, but like in dogfight combat, it's, you know, back then, that was a lot of what it was. That's why you had to like, why it was hard to be good at it.
Yeah.
Because to do the things that would help you win without turning in circles.
I enjoyed the dogfighting in Sturmovik, actually.
I don't know
if maybe it's because they gave me so many targets.
They really did. It was a target-rich environment.
Yeah. So, which could have been the reason, I'm not sure. He also sent us a Twitter about the box art for Mass Effect. He says the Normandy is faintly on the Mass Effect 2 cover in the upper left.
Is it? I didn't even see it.
Just remove Shepard and place a large Normandy in his place in the...
Hey, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Bet.
Lavo says, oh, man, I was unaware of the Hellgate and Champions Online connection. This will not end well.
It probably won't.
I'm hoping it ends well. I'm hoping it doesn't end, but you know what I mean. Count Elmdor says, help, I just bought EVE Online for $5 on Steam. What's the one piece of advice James can give me for starting
Jesus
out?
Jesus fucking Christ.
Delete it.
No, God no. Hell no. I'm going to give you a quick handful. Do all the tutorials. They teach you how to do things, and they give you some shit, and some money, and some ships, and some stuff. Do all of that. Find one of the noob corporations fast. Not a pro corporation, and fuck anybody who looks into your history and is angry about joining a noob corporation. You have to learn somewhere, and there's a lot of corporations out there in the help channels and stuff. Well, not in the help channel. Pay attention to the help channel. Join the help channel as quickly as you can, as soon as the tutorial tells you how. Find yourself a noob corp that's full of lots of people who like answering the questions. And do not be if you don't like the game, you don't like the game, and that's totally cool. You only paid $5 for it, and that's an excellent deal,
yeah,
by the way. But it has a really horrifying learning curve. Like, it's a tough thing to get past. So, but it's mostly because there's so much information. Take full advantage of the places where people answer questions. And appreciate, in comparison to every other MMO, how excellent the moderation is in that game. Both the community self-moderation and the volunteer, the empowered moderation. It's good stuff. Other MMOs could deal with having that a lot. They're excellent community. Excellent in-game community. They can be pricks. They're real superior sons of bitches, but it's not undeserving. So, yeah, don't worry about money. You'll get money. Just ask questions and play. Find out where questions are answered and ask them.
When was the last time you played it?
It's been a little over a month. Mm-hmm. Kevin's getting real pissed off about that.
How can you find Kevin?
He could.
Because Kevin's not a prick.
No. No, he's not. Trying to figure out the best way to... It's real simple. You can go under... motherfucker, it's not real simple. It's not simple to talk about on the radio. It's simple to do. You got this whole thing on the left hand, which is all where all your shit is, mm-hmm. where all of your tools are. And there is a people and places thing. Yeah. And you can add friend and, like, kind of type in, you know, his name is... see, I don't want to get his name out on the show. Because, like... Yeah, I don't want to do that.
We'll get back in touch with you. But another piece of advice would be hit up Immortal Machine, the forum over at Immortal Machines. Yeah. Find the Eve group over there, because I think there is a faction.
There is, and they play. It's just there are so many questions mm-hmm. a new player needs to ask. Literally so many. The game is not, in the short term, self-explanatory. It kind of dumps you into the world with enough you need to know, but there's just so much to know that a tutorial can never handle it all. So finding a help channel or a chat channel and paying attention to the discussions that take place in context, as well as what people have to say. Oh, and actually go to their... You need to build a skill plan. Google how to do that or look it up somewhere, because it's too much for me to talk about here, but you need to build a skill plan. Otherwise, you will waste your fucking time. You will waste forever your time. As a new player, it's really important how you build yourself early on, because skills are all accumulated in real time. Yeah. But if you build yourself smart early on, the time it takes to earn subsequent skills later is greatly reduced and is much more efficient. And efficiency may not seem like something that's that important when you begin, but when you realize the very foundations of everything you're going to do forever, you're doing right now, It can be a little daunting, so you want to look that up. So I wish there really was one piece of advice. I'm very sorry. It's a complicated game, but a great game.
Crap, there goes the internet.
Well, shit. Ball, Scott. We weren't done with the Twitter.
No, we still got some of the Twitter. It's going to be the emails that we're going to run.
Well, here.
Well, not yet. We'll get to it. Jason...
Does he even know what you were going to do?
I have no idea.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, do you know what I was going to do?
No, probably what? Unplug the back ears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, no, yeah, we don't have to yet. I still got a bunch of Twitter to go through.
Okay.
We get to the emails, if it hasn't fixed itself, I'll have to. Jason P. Icon says, are you guys going to see District 9 this week? I'm surprised a game wasn't made out of this. Every action movie usually is.
Well, actually.
Yeah.
We were reading that old Peter Jackson... Well, you know, he was tapped to do the Halo movie.
Yeah.
And then when that fell through, he was like, well, shit, we got all these assets that we created in anticipation of making a Halo movie. Let's do something with them. And they made District 9.
Yeah.
So it actually kind of worked the other way around.
Yeah.
Sort of. But in probably in such a way that licensing really couldn't be worked out, or maybe interest couldn't be scouted out for something like this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But we are going to try and see it this week.
Yeah, I think we might, because...
Although you sent that... When did you send... Oh, you sent that today. Okay, yeah, we are going to try to see that this week.
There's a good chance that'll be our Sunday.
We saw something else this week.
Blarg-a-larg-a-larg-a-larg.
Boy, if knowing is half the battle, you should not go see this fucking movie.
No. It's fucking horrible.
Spartacus 21 says, is there any chance of the show... okay. Is there any chance of the show returning to the radio, or at least a live stream where we could watch and listen?
Almost
radio,
none.
Radio, whatsoever.
None. Live stream, super
maybe,
unlikely.
But, yeah.
I have to think about that. I don't know how we would implement that in here, but probably not. We're trying, and unfortunately I gave out the wrong phone number last week, and I'll tell you about that. Well, it's weird how it works out. I'll tell you about that earlier. You would have already heard this. But yes,
we try to... I'll tell you about that earlier.
You know, when we go back and do the intro to the show.
I know what you're talking about. It's, you know, it's singularity, man.
Yeah.
We're at now. We're trying to come up with better ways for you guys to interact with us. Because that's one of the things we liked about the live show is that we had the chat room there. We had instant feedback of what we were talking about. And so, you know, that was nice to have. And now we do have somewhat of a delayed feedback now with what we're talking about. But we still want to give you guys more ways to interact with the show and to communicate with us. And so, you know, we're coming up with them. But live stream and back to the radio, very, very, like 99% unlikely. So, sorry. Beep Trier says, hey, it's too bad you guys don't listen to Rebel FM. He's the guy that said, did you listen to Rebel FM? Because they were talking about Republic Commando.
Uh-huh.
That's what they were talking about. He's like, it's too bad you didn't listen to him. He's also in Huntsville, by the way. He wanted to know if we were coming up to see Moon. He was the one that tweeted on that. He said, okay. I totally did the theme music they used the other week. And then he asks, do you listen to any podcasts? I used to.
We used to listen to... Dana and Daniel actually were our big other podcast listener tours. It was actually a very difficult situation for us for a long time. And still kind of remains a little tough for us because really we would only... Let me straighten that out a little bit. I think we listened to a handful of non-gaming things mm-hmm. as podcasts from time to time. But they're just non-gaming things. They're just whatever, you know. I have personally had a great deal of trouble listening to other podcasts because we went through a period, and it's a period that really dominates the life of our show, where we couldn't figure out what the hell we wanted to be. For anybody who might have been going through our entire product library.
There's an email about that.
Yeah. You might know what we're talking about. You might have picked up on that. But we had a really hard time with it. Schedules were a big deal. Format was a big deal. And we're always drawing inspiration from people we felt were doing it so much better. We had a devil of a time trying to figure out what the hell we wanted to be and how we wanted to do something. And we would desperately listen to other things, trying to figure out, see, this is clearly working, and what are they doing, and how can we do this? And it fucked us up so bad. The only way we were able to do anything interesting, and this, maybe it's because we're impressionable, I don't know, but we had a really hard time doing our own thing, and being because we're trying to be spontaneous about stuff, because mm-hmm. we don't really talk about things together beforehand, because we don't script a damn thing. We don't want in, like, we had trouble when we were already thinking about stuff. So if I had come into the studio with a week's worth of podcasts in my head already, I would find myself drifting along the lines of what other people were doing.
Yeah.
Basically, like, aping other aspects of other podcasts, and it made me very uncomfortable. But I'm also uncomfortable not listening to other podcasts. You know, I feel like, mm-hmm. you know, produce a podcast. Like, I like people who listen to them. And I don't know if other people who produce them have the same issues. I know that a lot of the guys listen to ours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had a huge problem with it. And so I stopped doing it, like, a ways back. And it wasn't for not liking any of them. It was, in most cases, for thinking that other people did things that I liked a lot better than what I was doing.
Yeah, that's interesting, because, like, from the beginning, I, like, never listened to any other podcasts. I mean, I think with the exception of one episode of a buddy's podcast that I listened to because he, you know, asked me to, like, I have not listened to any other podcasts, and it was because I know how I am. And I knew that if I listened to what other people were doing, I would want to try to be, you know, some other shit. And I decided early on I wasn't going to listen to anything else. But I think, you know, we've gotten really comfortable with what we are now. We've found what we are and found our groove. Like, now I am kind of curious about, like, other podcasts.
Yeah,
maybe not necessarily gaming ones. Or maybe. I don't know.
It's the gaming ones that I've stayed away from for the most part.
So I'm kind of... I'm actually looking for something that I might want to listen to, maybe while I'm at work or something, or in the car.
And that's another thing. I have not, for the longest time, had
you haven't had a job where you could listen to
a way where I could comfortably listen to it. Like, either just not having the right tools or whatever. But honestly, for me, a long time it was like I had to be really careful not to take somebody else's stuff. I'm really, really sensitive to that. And I don't like, I'm always scared I'm going to do that. If I'm writing something, I'm always terrified that I'm going to.
I felt pretty bad when I went to PAX last year and a dude from All Games came up and he was like, "Hey, yeah, do you listen to any of our other podcasts?" I was like, "Actually, I don't listen to any podcasts." Yeah. You know, and I felt kind of bad for saying that, but like, and I tried to explain my reasons. I don't know if I did very well.
Yeah.
But I felt kind of like an asshole because he wanted to talk about podcasts and stuff, and I couldn't. I was like, all I know is my thing.
It's and like you said, I don't think it would be as big an issue for us anymore. But for the longest time, for a very, very, very long time, we had huge trouble trying to figure out what we wanted to be. We fought with it all the time. And, you know, we would all listen to podcasts and suggest things to each other and take notes on other stuff and listen to stuff. And then it was like, well, in that respect, I'm sort of like dissecting what somebody else is doing, so I'm not really I don't know. The question puts me in the mind of wondering if that's even necessary anymore. It probably isn't.
Yeah.
I personally became so obsessed with the idea that the most interesting thing I can do is not have any control over what I'm saying. You know, as stupid as that sounds, but it's kind of how I do what I do. I read what I read, and I put it in my head, and I don't really think about it too much. And, I don't know. I think I'll give it a shot, actually. Maybe I'll pick up some other stuff. I'll have to look in some for some of the recommendations again.
Okay, yes.
All right.
No, I'm, you know, I used to listen to about the only other podcast I used to listen to early on when we were starting was, I guess, Major Nelson's podcast. But I would listen to that in spurts because I would listen to part of it on the way to work and then part of it on the way home. And it would take me, you know, middle of the week to be done with that. And, you know, I think, you know, I'll call it his name, Drew, Track Zero. He listens to hours. He listens to, like, Giant Bombs. He listens to all these podcasts. I'm like, how do you keep up? How do you listen to all this and keep up? Granted, theirs probably isn't, you know, 2.5 hours long sometimes.
Yeah.
But I can't keep up. With as many, and I just don't listen anymore. Hardly listen even at the radio when I'm driving home anymore. So, I just kind of stopped. It's not that I don't like anybody else's, you know, podcast. I don't even listen to ours, you know.
Oh, God, I've never listened to ours.
Yeah.
I can't stand to hear myself, man.
It makes me extremely uncomfortable.
There are very few occasions. I will go back and
I'll listen to it when I wasn't here.
Yeah.
Actually, well, and I'll take that back. I do listen to it when I'm, like, kind of posting stuff.
Yeah.
Which is sort of pointless anyway, because I don't... Whatever. I pick the most random stuff to write about anyway, because I don't want to give anything away. No, it's just, it's a total thing. It might be nice to have something like that on at work as well.
RJ listens to all the podcasts. All of them, every one. Like,
he does?
Yeah. I see. you speed them up to like 20 times their normal rate, so you can get them all in a day. He listens to every podcast.
Yes. Because that's hard.
Yeah.
Then he quizzes himself after.
And it was, like I said, I mean.
No, I actually do have a friend that plays podcasts at double speed with the pitch corrected and listens to them that way.
Nice. That's
very cool, actually. Bad idea.
But yeah, like I said, Dana used to listen to all kinds of shit. I wish her schedule was a little bit more like it was before because she was really good to have around from that end of things.
Yeah.
And Daniel listened. Daniel was plugging in on this first. He was pretty young, though. He had a lot of energy.
Yeah, he did.
Only time I go back is usually some of the interviews I'll go back and just listen to.
Yeah.
I still, to this day, listen to the Nolan North interview.
God, you're such a woman.
I'm just like,
you're such a goddamn woman.
We're talking to Drake.
No offense to the rest of the women out there, assuming any actually listen to our show. I shouldn't really actually use that as a term of slander against Scott, but...
Smiling Penguin had a similar question. He's looking for more gaming podcasts. He's already into Us, Idle Thumbs, and Rebel FM. Ridiculous banter is key. Do we have any suggestions? Well,
since I don't listen to any other podcasts, I can't suggest anything.
Here's some suggestions for you, and I can't say that these are Ridiculous Banter or anything like that.
Movecast was always good Ridiculous Banter.
There's Movecast. There is the FUDcast.
The FUDcast.
From the guys at COG who pick one game and they talk about that.
That was the one Ghost Bear got me to listen to one of their episodes. He asked me to.
Well, anything with Ghost Bear in it is going to have, you know, ridiculous banter. check out the I'll just, you know, promote this. Check out the Coopticast and then check out the, well, gaming. The Tiger Men from Mars don't really go into gaming, but that and the Immortal Machines podcast as well. That's all the podcasts that we got over at COG.
The COG Network.
Yeah, the COG Network. The COGcasts.
I think the COG Network needs a jingle. So every time we say COG Network, which we actually don't say all that often, now, anyway, but it can be like, you know, the NBC tones. Boom, 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 boom.
That's Intel.
Oh, well, I don't know. It's all a bunch of tones, man. I don't care. We just need some tones of our own.
Peep Shear, get on that. You made a theme for Rebel FM. Get us some tunes to play. Brian Ward writes in. Brian Ward, thank you for sending me the art. The rest of the guys want art now, so I gotta hook you up. And
well, hook us up.
I gotta hook them up, but I gotta get you their addresses and get you those indie prints. I think that's pretty much what everyone wants. But he said he checked out the Xbox Live Avatar store. Am I supposed to resist buying Clone Trooper armor? I know no one will ever see it, but still, he wants Clone Trooper armor on his avatar.
Because it's cool.
Yeah. No. No one will ever see it. Do you not have any friends on Xbox Live? You should get some, because they'll see it if you're online. They'll see your stuff.
Bong bong bong. That was the NBC tones.
Yes. especially once all those games that allow avatars start showing up. I don't even know what they're going to be, but they're going to be there.
Luckless Wonder says, in-game chat, best guess at Bruce Campbell's role in Rami's Warcraft movie that I've heard so far? Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, that's awesome.
if he
get
has
the,
to...
get the rights from Leroy,
sure, man,
to have Leroy in the movie. And
Leroy, he's already...
Well, he'll actually
not that you would know, but... And I don't even know how all that works, but basically, Leroy Jenkins has been, you know, like, spread all the fuck over of Warcraft. And I'm not talking just by the player base, I'm talking by...
By Blizzard.
The most common title, I believe, because you can achieve titles in World of Warcraft. I'm pretty sure the most commonly displayed title is Name Jenkins, which is achieved by killing 50 whelps in Lower Blackrock Spire in like 30 seconds or 15 seconds or so, whatever the hell that he didn't do way back when that actually happened. So believe me, Blizzard's already, you know, they've turned that shit to their advantage significantly. So I'm sure... If he's making the movie, he can damn well fuck around with whatever he wants. But yes, that would be funny.
Perfect suggestion. Lavos, we already went over that, talked about the box art for Borderlands. Kyrie says, did I tell you guys to check out the Nameless mod? It's a 20-plus hour, fully voiced, single-player mod for Deus Ex.
No.
It's a must-play. No, you did not tell us about that, but it's called the Nameless mod.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
Check it out.
I'll get to it.
Senator Spacer writes in about an hour ago and said, what do you guys think of the Borderlands box art?
Man, that's people how you
know,
do box
people
art.
People know our love of box art, and there you go.
Now you know.
Yes. That's shit. That's how that shit's done, man. I just want to reiterate that. That's box art. I'm telling you, when that game comes out, go to GameStop and look around. And you'll see that box pretty quick. It'll pop. That's all I'm saying. And it'll look funny. And somebody will probably bitch about it, which makes it better.
Nabokov fan sent us a tweet, said, about the Batman demo, does it have more than an attack button, or do the consoles have a punch and kick, a kick option, and should it? It's only got the one button.
So well, no, that's not true.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Sorry,
you're
there's right. Counter, there's attack, and there are... Even from the demo, there are, like, two other combos I'm aware of that require, like, you know, I think it was, like, the L1 and counter to do a ground takedown, and then...
R2 and triangle.
R2.
Ground take was ground takedown.
It was
take.
R2 and triangle. That's what
R2 and triangle. Then you got
and then there's
cape
like
stun.
There's also the circle triangle, whatever the hell it was that I was never able to pull off that would pop up occasionally. Mm-hmm. You would get the prompt for like hit circle and triangle for like a
that's,
whatever takedown.
If you get
but that's only available after a five combo string or something like that.
Yeah, five combo string. That's when that
and,
pops up.
And in certain situations. So yeah, it's a little more complicated than just the one button.
That's okay. It sounds to me like it's reminiscent of the Assassin's Creed thing.
Yeah,
where the reviewers were like, oh my god, it's just one button, blah blah blah, and then like you actually play it and you're like, oh wow,
no,
this is
quite
a lot
bit more, deep
more
than that. It's about positioning, yeah. It's about direction, and those things. And it's enough, believe me, it's enough to keep you interested. And particularly seeing as how that's not the game. Like, cool. And the demo, I think, makes an effort to make that clear. That's not the game. Here we will show you where you can beat these thugs, and it's just like what you already played. But now you go over here and you got to sneak up behind this guy. And now you got to sneak up behind these guys and do a stealth takedown. And now you have to, like, deal with, you know, now use all those skills we just taught you in these three areas on this one room of dudes. Like, it's good. It's good progression. And in nowhere did I feel like this is some, you know, the end is nigh bullshit, where you're just hitting the attack button over and over again.
Yeah.
To good or bad effect. It was... Everything they did was to good effect, in my opinion. So, some people aren't going to like it. It's totally cool.
Doc Finger writes in, says, I think the big guy you see at the end is Clayface, not Killer Croc.
Somebody said that also, but it didn't... It was so... It seemed to me so far outside the design...
If they're aiming for the animated series characters, which it looks obviously
in,
like
in
they
general,
are,
they really
that's not
have
Clayface.
Been. No, yeah. It's not even remotely Clayface.
Yeah.
And this the thing that they showed seemed to be very, I don't know.
Just a big mutant motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
But, like one partially... big... He had, like, one... Like, his right arm was, like, crazy mutated big, and his left leg was crazy mutated big, and then like his left arm and right leg were sort of normalized. And I believe Joker said like, now this is a big one when he saw it, instead of referring to him specifically, you know, as Clayface, as a specific character. He felt like a more generic kind of character. Like, here's your first boss fight, it's not even a real thing. But I don't know. It was very quick, and I don't know. It would be cool if Clayface was in it. I'm going to talk about a fucked up boss fight.
Yeah, really.
He was my favorite from the series.
He was really cool. Mm-hmm. Really. He was really, really cool. He was not my favorite. Mr. Freeze was my favorite.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Just not even as my favorite bad guy, but just like one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah. Shit. Oh, I was watching the credits. Because you can watch the credits in the demo, and there were the voice actor names. They were given the voice cast and listing. The American side of that went by really fast, and I didn't get a chance to read everything or like pause it. You can't pause the credits. But when it started going into the foreign voice cast, it was a lot easier to read. Apparently, they didn't have as many or whatever. And I saw two names pop up: Riddler and Scarecrow. Now, these could be just voice recordings for their character profiles that you can... Which, lots of unlockables in this game, by the way.
Yeah.
Because you can see all that. The from the character trophies to also the character profile stuff. Lots of it. So these could be recordings of that, or they could actually be in the game. I don't know. Still a lot of unknowns on this thing. Snake's Mom 93 says, apparently Microsoft fixed the account deletion problem that used to happen when you only used your account for Xbox and not Hotmail.
I was wondering about that today, actually, when I logged on to Xbox Live from my PC.
Yeah.
Which I don't do very often, and it just kind of occurred to me, I was like, you know, the thought just passed through my head, like, I wonder if this is actually fixed now, or should I just go log into my Hotmail?
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to know it is, actually.
Yeah.
That was a stupid fucking problem to have.
He also adds that, and they added an eject button even while your disc is in the tray. It took them a year to come up with that idea. Like, the only time you'd see an eject on the tray is when there was no disc in the system.
Hmm.
You could move your controller down and highlight the eject button on your disc tray and it would pop out. But if there was a disc in, it was like, do you want to just play the game? You can click here and play the game. But then they added an eject button. So now you can do that. That's all the tweets we got.
Cool.
Moving on to our emails. Whoops. That's one not to be read. I'll remember that next time.
Really? I'm interested. What was it?
Doogie 2, it's some technical stuff Daniel wrote to us. Daniel Phelps, who is going through the entire stuff.
Yes.
Well, okay, I'll read this. Maybe it happened just to him. Maybe it happened to other people. He says, he had only sent it to me. He said, I just noticed the last show, Molecular Laser episode, it just came up on InGame Chat's feed at around 2:30 our time today, which was August 5th. The one for COG was up on Saturday. And although I don't know that James posted them around the same time, it makes sense that he would. Just thought I'd let you know, it struck me as odd.
That is odd. I can promise you, if I post it to COG, I have... Not saying I won't make mistakes, mm-hmm. but if I've posted it to COG, I have posted it everywhere it gets posted and delivered it to every source necessary for the feed. It
might Strange. Be
something else. Yeah. Also, I noticed the Listen Live link is still on the site. I know you guys are busy, but just in case new listeners...
I've been working on that.
Yeah.
And I've got the source images now. I'm going to make us a new thing to go up there, get rid of that link. But I have been doing a lot of work on the site here lately.
Yes.
So thank you, Daniel. I know as much as you're pouring over our shows that you probably notice things like this.
Hey, thanks.
So, and yeah, if you do notice those quirks or things, we're all about don't, like, so please let us know.
Yeah, we're all about, like, dude, this is how much we pay. We don't even listen to our own show. We don't even fucking go to our own website. Come on, man. We're very poor stewards of our own medium and our own product to some degree, so that's perfectly great.
Yeah. But always, you know, let's know, no problem there. Doogie2K writes in, hey guys, I don't actually remember if it was this podcast or another that specifically pondered the effects of certain decisions from Mass Effect 1 carrying forward, and in particular the Superfan Quest, but here goes. It'd be very interesting to me to see just how far they carry some of those minor quests forward, which ones they did. Superfan, they could have some fun with, perhaps turning him into the syndrome to your Mr. Incredible. Making up for his lack of innate Spectre badassness with some cool technology or army of minions or something. The other one, which wasn't mentioned, were the various scientists performing unethical experiments.
Oh, yeah.
Like the ones working Thorian, whom in a moment of uncharacteristic sympathy or maybe fatigue with the shooter combat, I let go for money instead of icing like I should have. Or the one being held hostage by the soldier with the PTSD, whom I did, in fact, kill. Do they come back with newer, even more horrific experiments? Or do they mend their ways and become allies? How that's executed would definitely change the way I feel about how I handled those side missions.
Yeah.
Another one might be, do you get a second chance to take on the Batarians? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. Is that what it's called? Refer to the website, please.
Yeah. If you let... What?
Never mind.
Okay.
The website that tells you how to pronounce names.
Oh, yeah. Do you get a second chance to take them on if you...
The Batarians, yes.
Yeah, if you let them go during Bringing Down the Sky.
Which I never got to play.
That's really good.
Damn it.
It's fun.
I don't know, there's an excuse really to go through the first one again.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It was fun. You can do it early on, get some good swag. If you wanted to go through it again, do Bring Down the Sky, and then maybe a couple of the side missions, and then fuck the rest of them. Don't waste your time on the other side missions. But Bring Down the Sky was cool. Yeah, I hope all that little stuff is there. Although it seems like, at first thought, that it would be far more interesting if you had been the bad guy in some of the situations, because a lot of times the good decision was meant... resolving the situation instead of either profiting from it, allowing a terrible thing to continue, or being a real penis to somebody, you know? The good thing resolved it and sort of dissipated the decision. So, there was this one where in one of the early attacks on the settlement,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it was, this guy's wife was killed, and because of the situation, or whatever it was, I can't remember the specifics, but it was a little side, just a little decision thing you had to make. He was, I believe he was Indian, is that right?
I don't know.
Something from the subcontinent, Indian, Pakistani, something like that. Like, they, whatever it was. I don't remember. It was obviously so far in the future that I can't remember how the distinction ran, whether it was as arbitrary as country of origin or something like that. But anyway, what he just wanted his wife's body back for burial. It was exceedingly important to him. And they were like, oh, we can't release it because it's because of the circumstances of her death or the method of her death or something like that. It was extremely important that the scientists keep her to run tests. And, like, you could be a good guy and be like, you know, you work the whole thing out. You'd be suave or whatever. You know, stroke your goatee, whatever the fuck. You know, or your nipples if you're playing the female shepherd. I don't know. Do whatever the hell you got to do to get the situation resolved. Get the wife's body back to the people and convince the person in charge of making the decision that it's really the right way to go. And so everybody's happy, right? And I could see if I'm, like, a real dick to this guy, like, that he would hold a real grudge and that later on he would, like, have some big issue with me. But as it is, it's like, well, everybody's just kind of happy. I like maybe, I don't know, maybe he helps me later. I see a lot more interesting circumstances from people I fucked over, which because of how I played through the game, I didn't really fuck that many people over. So, I don't know. If that was the case, that would be super awesome. But what if you killed somebody? You know, it's like, whatever, you're annoying me. I'm going to push you out of a window. Which I wish I could have done about 100 times in the first game, and I can apparently do it in the second game.
He goes on to say, as you can probably tell, there are a few side quests that, if I went back and did them again with a clearer sense of who my shepherd was, I probably would have done differently. And that brings me to another question. Which ones have you done differently had you the chance to do them again?
Which ones from Mass Effect?
Mm-hmm. I think the only other change I'd have made would be to punch out that obnoxious bitch of a TV reporter, the one asking the leading questions. That was his. What would be...
Which one? The Trisha Takanawa character?
Yeah, he didn't say it, but yeah.
No, mine, I wouldn't redo any of mine, because I knew my Commander Shepard is kind of like the John Sheridan of the universe. It's complete goody-two-shoes, going to make the good call pretty much every single time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, she's a Boy Scout.
Mm. I forgot.
He rubbed my Sheridan to get the wife's body back. Yeah, that's cool. I, you know, mine was kind of mixed up. I didn't lean too heavily one way or the other. I really, because some people were just assholes. And I was like, man, I don't fucking like you. So fuck you. You know? And it didn't have a whole lot of tolerance for... Well, I tell you what, there are a lot of situations where I really would rather have pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the way the game handled that, if you know what I mean. Like, there were sometimes really good dialogue resolutions to things, and a lot of times when it resulted in just pulling the trigger, it's like, well, you just killed somebody and nothing really happened from that. And again, looking back at the little video demo where they, like... He's kind of interrogating that one guy in Mass Effect 2 and apparently just gets fucking sick of it and, like, you know, in the middle of the thing gets the little extra option that, you know, this whole thing that they're highlighting for the decision system in the next game, and he just fucking pushes him out the window and then pulls some, like, smart-ass Bruce Willis remark. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like, you know, there's a little bit of payoff for not just your normal payoff for being a dick, but kind of like a good dialogue payoff and a good recognition of the decision having been made, other than the firefight.
You want recognition for being a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. I would probably stick kind of close to it, probably be less of a good guy, just because I didn't, you know, didn't really overall lean too heavily one way or the other. I felt like in the end I came too much down the middle. Because some decisions I was kind of nasty about. Although I still got good karma or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you want to look back at it, quite honestly, everybody treated Shepard like shit.
Yeah.
They wanted you to do all sorts of bullshit and couldn't believe you did it, but, you know, or couldn't believe you'd ever do it. And then when you hadn't done it yet, they were all pissed off that you hadn't. And I was like, but I thought I couldn't do this. So, you want me to fail no matter what? Like, the odds were stacked against you, and except for the people on your own team, I was always really nice to. I mean, I liked my people.
Yeah.
You know? I liked all of them, as a matter of fact. I actually... I would probably be a little bit dickier, I guess. I was just worried about screwing something up, and I've said that before. I worry about screwing shit up and losing an option by being a dick. But, like, I really liked all of my team. I didn't like Ashley that much. but, like, I liked Garrus.
Which one was he?
He was the, the hell they called. Guy that looks like a cat, you know?
Oh, well, yeah.
Like, I mean, not a furry cat, but, like, he has, like, the leonine.
Yeah.
Like, I liked him because he was, like, a cop who was just, like, done with the fucking system.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he was, like, an alien future Max Payne a little bit.
Yeah.
He was like, whatever, I'm fucking done with this bullshit, and I'm done playing by your goddamn rules, and I just want to see some shit get done.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, I feel real bad because I got to do nasty shit to get stuff done, but I want to get stuff done. And he was kind of a little bit too Law and Order, I guess, but really willing to go outside the law to get it done. And I just thought that made him an interesting and a complicated character. I'm like, yeah, I would be more like that. I should be more like that. And I wasn't. So.
Okay. Next email's from Spigot.
Spig.
Hey, guys, I'm listening to the Molecular Laser episode, and I'm sad to hear how idiotic my many, many splodes were. That said, all I've heard around Casa del Spig is, play Splosion Man, splode, for my kids.
Yeah, they weren't. I thought that was funny.
Followed with many, many questions about why Splosion Man is locked away, why there is a blue Splosion Man, and the rest of the litany of metaphysical questions about simple game mechanics that only a five-year-old would ask. Now to reveal exactly why my foot intercepted a hard drive on its way to the ground from 8 feet up.
Oh, yeah.
I was cleaning out my basement man cave at the behest of the missus, and on the top shelf was a box of miscellaneous electronics. In the course of...
That's where everybody puts their boxes of miscellaneous electronics, and I don't know why. I've got three of them, and they're all on top shelves in a closet. I don't know what the hell they're doing up there, man.
In the course of my shoving things around, a hard drive somehow got to the edge of the box and teetered over the edge, only to fall from a great height and hit me squarely in the middle of the top of my foot.
God damn it, man. You need a second box.
And I was in bare feet at the time, so I couldn't even count on my shoes to absorb some of the impact. Thankfully, you guys have already taught my kids all of the profanity they need to know. So there wasn't much that my string of explicatives added to their vocabulary. I also wanted to answer the question you asked a little while ago about what we would do if the game industry collapsed. Frankly, I've long harbored a secret wish for a year with absolutely zero new releases. I'm not calling for the collapse of the industry or anything, just a year so that I can A, save my money, and B, have a chance to catch up on all the games I have gathering dust. Hell, 6 months with no new baubles to catch my eye and rob my wallet would be sufficient. I know that my willpower is too weak to do it on my own. Now I have to go catch up on those episodes of Defying Gravity that are sitting on my DVR
to see
if they're as awful as James make them out to be.
Okay. We sat down for food last night, right? And so, like, we watched whatever. And I watched...
Spigot.
We had two things that I would watch, right? There's, like, 800 things on the TiVo, but there's two things that I can watch. This is how it works in my house. And so Dana's like, I can't remember what we're eating. Stir fry, right? I'm sitting down with my stir fry and like I'm munching on my little piece of carrots and stuff. I'm like, watch some stuff. It's cool. And she was like, we got Defying Gravity and Warehouse 13. I was like, well, let's just watch Defying Gravity. She's like, it's cool, you know. I'm like, whatever, you know. I'm gonna see. Maybe they get it figured out, right? And like. I can't refer to some of the things I need to because you guys don't have it. There's not a frame of reference. But there's like... I can't...
I love that the rare occasion James decides to be an optimist about some shit.
Yeah, right?
Every time.
It's like, that'll learn you to be an
optimist. Anytime I've ever heard you say, I don't know, well, maybe it's better. Like, it always turns into a great story.
And I like... Yeah, I got to a certain point, man, and they were like, you know, whatever. It's like, like space travel and like there's all this important stuff to do and blah blah blah, but like why do men have to be like this? I just looked over and I was like, can I watch Warehouse 13, please? I'm done. I'm done. I'm sorry. Just because the chick is punching things onto some really hot looking, you know, like touch sensitive display, like, whatever. It's not enough. I'm sorry. But if you're like conducting fertility experiments while you talk about the unpredictable nature of like why men are stupid, you can jump out of a fucking airlock, you dumb bitch. I'm watching Warehouse 13, which is a hell of a lot more fun, thank you very much. They don't worry about interpersonal relationships. They just like make some pithy remark and then do something fun and then go, you know, find an awesome artifact. That's all you need. Fuck those assholes.
He goes on to say, I will say that I was intrigued by them until I saw By the Creators of Grey's Anatomy, at which point my interest plunged off the graph.
Yeah, you should just watch the first two-hour thing so that you can at least be like where I am, because I need somebody else to be where I am.
It ain't gonna be me.
But I'm not making a weird joke. It's so disgustingly Grey's Anatomy in space. It's not even funny. It's horrible. And I want to... when I watch that show.
So. He says, in Dollhouse is one of the few genre shows I can get my wife to actually sit and watch, so if she can enjoy it, I'll suffer through it. It does get better by the end of the first season. I'm not 100% sure if they aired the 13th episode or if
they
it's
did
only
not.
On DVD.
It is only on DVD.
But I would have dropped it after the second or third episode if I had my druthers. Hmm. So... apparently you got to suffer a little bit.
You
before.
Do.
Yeah.
That's what he
I've
said.
I've said this.
That's what he said.
It is like word for word what I said, yeah.
Thanks for the great show, guys. As always, get to work convincing someone at Sony or Square to re-release Vagrant Story.
Hey, just not for nothing, man, but that ESRB rating shit popped up for some more stuff. And it's all Capcom stuff, mm-hmm. but it did pop up for some more PlayStation 1 releases. Did you see that, RJ?
No, I didn't see
Capcom,
that.
What was it?
Yes, the Capcom stuff that popped up was from Capcom.
Like 10 seconds ago, man. I said it's all Capcom stuff.
Yeah. Sorry.
Was it like revised ratings or something? What happened? Was it like revised ratings or something? What happened?
No, it's because you know they're doing the PSN, the network releases of PlayStation Classics.
Yeah,
PS1
stuff. Classics, yeah.
Well, they did Final Fantasy VII, they did... the original Metal Gear Solid, yeah. They did mm-hmm. Resident Evil. Well, ESRB ratings, because they have to be re-rated for a network release.
Mm-hmm.
And they just published ratings for Dino Crisis, Resident Evil 2, and Resident Evil 3.
Okay.
Which, you know, those are all fun games, great games. Mm-hmm. But it shows a little bit of momentum for the network releases, so mm-hmm. can always hope. The more stuff gets released there, the greater the chance you're going to see the thing you want. Mm-hmm. By necessity. And Vagrant Story, holy shit. Although every time they release that, I'm doesn't do anything for how I feel about the PSN necessarily, but it sure as hell increases my interest in a PSP.
So Square needs to like get on the ball and do Vagrant Story and Fear Effect, because they bought Eidos, so now Fear Effect is theirs. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Very true. Final email of the night comes from Daniel Phelps, our guy going through every single episode of the show. Okay, I've accomplished it. Every single in-game chat episode ever recorded.
Are you sure?
I gotta pull some I'm sorry, but your princess is in another castle shit on him now. Because, like, I don't know, maybe he did know about it, but there is old.ingamechat.net which has our original episodes pre-Evil Avatar Radio, before we became Evil Avatar Radio. And it's not linked anywhere on the main site, so you might not have known that was there. Of course,
including
we did.
Some shit before we even had a name.
Yeah, that might be up there too. We're missing like the first five episodes we recorded. The first episode is just gone. It never made it onto a medium at all. It was broadcast... over the over the internet and over the airwaves, but never recorded. 2, 3, and 4 were recorded, but we're trying to find them still.
Yeah.
I'm going to move all that stuff over to the main site now. But yeah, so
maybe we will.
Have you listened to those? Maybe you still do.
Because I know
some
we took a poll. I remember that. We were like, we need to name the show.
Yeah, that was great.
And we had a bunch of suggestions, and we took a poll, and a bunch of people voted on the poll, and like...
And at the end, we were like, we don't like that name. We're going to use this other name instead.
What was
the
name they voted on? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Was it Geek Speak Radio?
It was something like
that. That was one of the options, I remember.
And then the whole thing happened, and then we were like... Endgame chat's really actually pretty good. We don't like any shit anymore.
I think we took a commercial break, discussed it really quick within ever how long we had a commercial break, and we came back and we said, we don't really like this.
It also didn't help that Geek Speak Radio was already taken by someone else.
One of them was. One of those that we did was. That's right.
Yeah. But I can't remember. The one that got selected, I can't remember which one it was called. My God, I do not... I have to go back and find that episode.
Assuming that's when we have a recording.
Yeah, and it was funny because, like, in-game chat was one of the options to get voted on. And it, like, failed miserably in the responses. And then it was like, no, man, this is actually perfect. And, like, I can't remember who suggested it. It was a suggested name. It was not one that we came up with, I don't think.
I honestly believe
somebody from the old Evil Avatar forums...
I have to go back and
suggested
look.
I have no it. Idea. I was like, it's fucking perfect.
I'd love to see all those other titles that we had, too. What we could have been called.
Yeah.
But none of them beat that, so anyway. But yeah. I don't really care about your opinions. Put some structure.
Fuck you.
Now I have to call in someday so I can be on par with your other loyal subjects. Remember the sticky Daniel posted with contact info? Good place for Google voice number. Yeah, if I gave out the right one.
Yes.
I will say, though, now all I have is the new stuff for every week. I second the notion to return to multiple shows a week.
It's,
Then we wouldn't be able to play games.
Yeah, no. Well...
Well, first off, you're welcome that I hid those old episodes from you till now, so...
Yeah.
And,
It's not outside the realm of possibility. Part of why we went to like back to this one thing was it was just not enough to sustain.
Yeah. We moved to that format when there was just so much news happening all the time. It was like we were already so out of date when a week went by. We were like we need to do this more often. Yeah. So
and schedules couldn't be arranged, and then like if something hiccuped, like you were doing two shows back to back night to night.
Yeah.
Which meant a day of work, a night of show, another day of work, another night of show, and between the two recordings you would not have played a goddamn thing.
Right. Right.
And depending on what happens in the industry, no new information would have just nothing would have been generated because it would be an off time of the year. There were a lot of different reasons not to do it.
So basically, if we ever feel like we can sustain something like that, and if we feel like we need to do something like that again, we will.
And it's not necessarily bad for us because it results.
And God bless you for loving it and wanting it too.
Yeah.
Well, and it's resulting in something that's helpful for a lot of people, which is little bite-sized things.
Mm-hmm.
No episode more than like 40 minutes.
Right. Right.
Which is cool. So yeah.
He says I'll try and keep it short this time since my last one was so long, and because I've turned off to sci-fi since I watched Moonraker. I read Dude's paper you posted on the forums, the guy who wrote the college paper there.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to me how gaming has went from nerd pastime to world phenomenon. It's fairly uncommon to meet someone who is not a Mario fan, for instance, but can instantaneously recognize the overworld theme from the games. It's progressed from arcades to the Atari and on forward to where we are now. And with it, the communities that form under them are growing and updating at the same pace. I wonder where it'll go next. It wouldn't be far-fetched to say actual virtual realities are in the near future, which would also mean that, like PlayStation Home or Second Life, the community itself will exist in that reality. When that's the norm, imagine the vast number of things, even outside of gaming, that will necessarily change and evolve in that direction. Wow. Sounds like I've had a few of those cigarettes James mentioned. So that was his email.
I think the people who are about to be running the world
are going to be the first group of people who grew up with games.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to bring with them what they had. It's that simple. They're in your brain. They're a part of it. It's a big deal. It's not something that the people above you don't understand, or the people to either side of you don't understand because they're not in the same class or strata or you know, interest structure that you are. That stuff's just spread and disseminated so far that I think it's kind of weird to meet somebody and talk to somebody who hasn't played a video game,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, doesn't have some kind of understanding. It's like, that's weird, dude. You're old. Or you're weird. Like, you need to play something. It's just what it is. It's not a toy.
Yeah.
It's not...
By the time we hit the end of our lifespan, there really won't be.
Well, and then that'll be fascinating.
Yeah.
Once you get to a time when there are no humans alive who have not...
Who didn't grow up in a time where there were video games to play. Right.
Yeah.
Where everyone was exposed to video games, just like movies, books, music,
yeah.
whatever.
It's
just always there.
So it won't be held in any different regard.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be important for it moving fully into the understanding of... Or taking its place with everything else. So you won't have people constantly worried about what's the future of this going to be.
Right.
Like, I think a lot of us are. Because we've only ever known the future of games to mm-hmm. some degree. And we've helped... I don't know. We were conscious of it when it didn't even have a past. It was so new. So... yeah, it's going to take a while, and it's going to be slow. And by the time what we would consider to be virtual reality rolls around, the people who are able to experience virtual reality will think our initial guesses about it are quaint and stupid. The same way that, you know, the idea of the moon man from the 30s, 40s, and
right.
50s was kind of absurd to the real ones who came around, you know, in the 70s. Like, yeah, we finally got there. And it was based on this idealized notion that's been around forever. But by the time it really happened, it doesn't bear all that much similarity to the original idea.
I don't know that I expect to be around for virtual reality or whatever that it turns out to be may entail. Just because, like, I think... We've seen such a quick progression of hardware and graphical output capability. We tend to expect exponential changes.
Yeah.
But just like in every other area of new technology, like, say, air travel, there were exponential increases up to a point where it just plateaued.
Yeah.
And now
further increase is amazingly expensive.
Yes. It's not that it's not possible. It's just that it's... what's the word I'm looking for? I did that.
I know exactly what you mean. Like the way it scales.
Yeah.
It's
untenable because of the cost associated with furthering it.
It's true.
Will be. We're not there yet, but we're starting to hit the curve. Like, we're not just shooting straight up anymore. Mm-hmm. We're curving. You can see it. You know.
And yeah, I mean, it will happen.
The increase from 720p to 1080p. You know. This generation to next generation is not going to be as great as the last. Just as, you know, Xbox and PS2 to 360 and PS3 was not as great as the last jump or the jump before that.
What, do you remember the first 3D accelerated game you ever played?
Yeah.
Yeah, damn right.
Yeah.
Do you remember the second? No, you know. And I'm speaking, like, generationally, but...
Sure.
The jump from
8-bit to 16... Well, first the jump from nothing to something.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
Is the one, 0 to 1 is as big as you can go.
Yes.
And then 8 to 16-bit, then into the 3D era, then to 3D accelerated era.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yes.
You know? And then from there on, increased resolution, better shadows, better shaders, mm-hmm. you know. It looks prettier and prettier, but it's...
Well, I've talked about it before, you know.
You're not going to top the jump to 3D acceleration again.
Yes. It'll be a a question of kind and not degree. You know, I don't know about virtual. I don't know if, you know, we're fond of saying we'd like to be around for the singularity, but...
Right.
I don't know. Who knows how that'll happen.
The nerd rapture.
Yeah, the nerd rapture. I'd be happy if I could... layer some shit over what I'm looking at all the time. You know, I'd be happy with augmented reality.
Sure.
As opposed to
pure virtual reality. And it might actually turn out to be much more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I'd be happy with some really badass OLED displays. I don't even need virtual reality anymore. I just want some, like, shit-hot display curvature, you know? I want my computer room to have a display dome, you know, or a display, whatever the hell half a dome is, a quarter of a sphere. What the fuck is the name of that structure? I don't know. I'm sure somebody will tell me. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I want, a display canopy. And that shit shouldn't be too far away. So, I'll be fine with that. Whatever.
Okay.
Well, you know, it seems like the next innovation in gameplay doesn't seem to be display tech. It's, you know, this whole motion control thing. So
yeah.
There's that.
Yeah, see, that's the future for you. Whatever. I'm at the point where I'm starting to understand what generations of people have understood before me.
Uh-huh. Your jetpack never gets here.
No,
like,
your jetpack is never going to get here.
The future is something unexpected.
Yeah, and that's
You're
a little...
crying fucking shame,
I think.
Too.
Well, I think virtual reality is video games jetpack,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah, I think that's really what we're trying to get to here, because I don't want the future to be motion control stuff. Mm-hmm. That's not what I want. I have spent my life wanting certain things. And God damn it, I know that they're the things worth wanting because I have spent my whole life doing it. And then this whole other revolution comes along and sweeps your beloved what have you off its feet mm-hmm. and down the goddamn river. And it's like, but I don't want to do that. Like, because
it's
in
not
my
the
mind,
direction
a lot of,
I wanted to go.
Yeah,
right.
And to some degree, I believe that you've been taken aback by this change.
Mm-hmm.
To me, forward was over here. In this direction, and now you're doing this other thing, and I don't see that as forward. I see that as, you know, strictly perpendicular at best, and I don't like that, but there you go. That's your goddamn future.
Mm-hmm.
If your future is not some saleable shit, then there's a good chance that scalable, saleable, cheap, easy to reproduce,
mm-hmm.
if it's not that, if that's not your future, don't bother, like, wanting it. You know, like, what did we look at the other day? Like, fucking YouTube or something stupid, like the water jetpack.
The water
like,
jetpack.
Clearly,
yeah.
I'm at the point of, like, falling in love with a goddamn tethered ass water jetpack because my jetpack's never going to get here. My flying car, my sexy metal nipple robot, it's never going to show up. Like, it's not, I'm sorry, it's not happening, my friend.
So. The biggest innovation we've had, too. Fucking automobiles, I think, has been the GPS, you know.
Yeah.
Stick on your window with a suction cup.
Yep.
Has become a part of my driving experience.
Yeah.
I felt like the Charlie Strauss character in Accelerando, Manfred, when somebody stole his fucking goggles.
Yeah.
And, like, he kept reaching for a thought that wasn't there because the goggles, like, were a part of his mind. There was storage space in it and processing power, and so he was trying to pull a memory that wasn't there because somebody took his goggles. Like, when we were driving back just this weekend, I made a turn. And I didn't even realize I had made a turn. I realized I was accelerating from making a turn. I was like, I just turned back there. I don't know why I turned back there, because I don't know where the fuck I am. But obviously I made the right decision. I'm going the right way. I'm like, is this like GPS thing already this ingrained in my driving
That's
that I just outsource
you,
my
You have offloaded
to that?
An
yeah.
entire skill.
So like, we decided we needed
That's
to
not
go.
Even really funny.
No.
I don't think.
So we decided we wanted to find somewhere to eat. So Becky pulls the thing down and like starts punching and looking for a thing. And I realized that like, over that next hill, like, I was really scared of that next hill because I didn't know wow. where the fuck to go over. I got once I got over that next hill because, like,
that's awesome.
All of my security and, like, knowing where to drive had just been yanked out of my head by her taking the tom-tom off of the,
wow.
the windshield. It's like, wow, that's really weird. That's very Manfred Goggle.
Yeah, I am going to indulge me for a minute while I reference World of Warcraft again. But again, for guys who do not play this, you might not be aware of how things work. First off, I've always been slightly scared of having one of those things in my car. A, I actually do have an excellent sense of direction and am very good at figuring stuff out in context and doing directional stuff and whatever. Like, and it's not even that. It's like a skill. that I learned when I was in college, because it was ROTC, land nav, crazy to go out and camp in the woods for 2 weeks and learn how to walk places with whatever. And it was fun, and it made me trust my own sense of direction innately for the rest of my life. It's worked out really well. Also, I'm scared that I would drive around looking at it the same way I fly around in World of Warcraft looking at my map. And I think about, if you think about the various, the tracking options available in this game, and it's only important in this game because it is a social, multi-person, open-world game, between a combination of the tracking options and the quest-oriented, navigation-oriented add-ons that have sort of grown into popularity over the last couple of years, there is an awful lot that I think... Basically, if you were to put together sort of a cumulative understanding of, like, how the minimap and all its tracking functions with Gatherer slash Carbonite slash Quest Helper all merged into their thing. Like, if somebody could come up with some shit you put in your car with that degree of functionality in terms of helping you get around. And I understand that the GPS stuff is very good.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, like, finding what you're looking for and where the hell it is. And I know it's just some scripting and a thing, but in terms of its functionality in an open world of stuff that you don't necessarily have another way to find, you very quickly learn to just give it up. Like, you know, in a big complicated MMO, I'm an explorer type person. I always like to know where things are.
Mm-hmm.
But even for me, it's easier to just be like, whatever. I've done a quest 5 times, say, but I still want to click on the little guidance indicator, and it's going to tell me which motherfucker to walk to and, like, where to fly to and then where to run to and, like, what else to click on to get the thing complete. Like, it's very easy to not even care anymore about where or why, you know? And if I had some sort of thing in my car, I'd want a little drop-down menu to track restaurants,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I want to see a little gold pip come up on the map every time
man.
I pass a restaurant. Like,
you can totally do that.
Yeah, that's what I want, so. Like, but I kind of worry about... I'm all right relying on that in a video game.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. Because I would seriously probably drive around all the time looking at it like it's a mini-map. You know, because that's what it is to me. Conceptually, it's a mini-map.
It is.
You
should get one.
Yeah. I would kind of like one.
Do you have any voices on your TomTom?
I have... Yeah.
Who do you have?
Yeah.
All right, fine.
We'll talk about it after the show.
I'm really curious. All right, cool.
All right.
Really want to know who it is.
Get ready for the emails about that.
Yeah, probably.
If you do get a TomTom,
see, I don't know what the hell to get. I gotta.
I was gonna say, check with me because like, there's a certain cheap model that is extraordinarily moddable and hackable.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, that was the last email. However, in the threads for the show we just recently posted this week, Uno El Nino from MoofPack.
Yeah.
He's like, I think your phone number's wrong for your Google Voice. And I said, yeah, it's wrong. So I gave him the real one, and 22 minutes ago, he gave us a call.
Uh-oh.
Do you want to try to play it and see if we can
see
how this works? Might as well experiment with it, because if it doesn't work, then, you know.
And we can find better ways to do this in the future, but, you know, whatever.
Hold it up here and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Dude, the translation on this is funny as shit, because it transcribes the best it thinks.
Yeah, Jeremy and I were talking about that today.
So, this is Andrew from MovePack.com. well, you know on the Cobb forums as well.
Yeah, just play
really
it.
Great.
Just play it.
All right, let's see how this works. Wait.
Hey, what's up, everybody at Endgame Chat? This is Andrew from MovePack.com, or actually Uno El Nino on the Cobb forums as well. honor to be among the first to leave you guys a message on your new voicemail thing. To talk about TV got me thinking about where some of the best shows are. I think they come from HBO and Showtime, and recently AMC with Mad Men and Breaking Bad. Wondered if any of you guys watch those two shows, or if you've ever checked out Entourage, or Hung is a new one that just started up on HBO that's been really good. Dexter's another one on Showtime that's been pretty good. A lot of these, aside from Hung, have seasons on DVD and Blu-ray. So I definitely think they're worth checking out if you haven't seen them yet. Also, Scott, the remark I made about your voice on the message board, I thought you'd like that. I got to thinking about that a little bit more. If I had it my way, I'd like to hold a contest with you, James Earl Jones, and Morgan Freeman, and give each of you a room full of crying babies and a storybook, and see who can read the storybooks and put the children to sleep the fastest. I think you'd have a fighting chance, bud. Anyway, you guys have a good week, and I'm looking forward to the next show. See ya. Bye.
I love that guy.
That's awesome.
He's great.
Well, first off, I have to learn how to read.
Do what?
I said, first off, I would have to learn how to read better.
Yes. did you of course, read what the comment was.
Yes. Right, yeah, I did.
Yeah. That worked out pretty well, actually.
You're not going to talk about it?
Yeah. I can't wait to get some more of those. That was fun.
You're not going
to
talk about it?
What?
The comment?
What he said?
Yeah.
Because it was hilarious. I laughed about it for like 15 minutes. I love his stuff.
I have to go back
I liked his. I liked his voice thing as well.
I need to go back and read it.
What? Oh, come! No, you
I don't remember. I don't remember how he worded it or what he said.
Oh,
I just remember my reply
liar.
Was, you know.
You're a liar and a half.
That's all right. I'll find it. I'm not gonna let him get away with that.
What do you say? Hey guys, just wanted to drop a note and let you know that your voicemail. Oh no, that's not it. Damn it! Where'd he go?
Oh, holy crap!
Is it here?
That was, and you're not among the first, my friend. You are.
The first.
And that was actually a really good drop you did. I liked that. It was well put together. And any chance you maybe want to, I mean, because you didn't, like, fuck up any of your words or anything, so I'm wondering if maybe you'd want to work out kind of an exchange program.
My theory is that Scott's voice has some sort of hypnotism qualities. It's like a blowjob for my ears.
It's fitting that you should have to read that yourself.
And my response was, that's it, I quit.
That's good. That's good stuff. Thank you for sending that in. I appreciate you participating in that.
Yeah, you were our test, because I wasn't sure how that was going to work out. To
play.
You
passed really well. I liked it.
So that worked good. But he's right on the TV stuff. HBO, Showtime, yeah.
I just started watching, Becky and I started watching United States of Terra. We enjoyed the first episode.
I like that, yeah.
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
It's about a suburban mom with multiple personality disorder.
I'm not too fond of suburban moms.
Yeah, but she's got multiple personality disorder.
What her problem is.
But it's fun.
Yeah. I have real problems with new shows. The majority of shows that I like and watch are things that Dana was watching, and I was like, whatever. I'm just going to, you know, eat my sandwich and whatever, and like, you're watching this. And then I would like it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Among the things he mentioned, and I'm a lot more critical of stuff. I've not watched Breaking Bad because I kind of thought, and I'm, you know, this may sound weird based on some of the things I've said before, but I don't really like, you know, like drug shows. I don't know, whatever the context is. I can be made to like certain things, but sometimes, like, drug things really just get on my nerves. I don't know why. Sometimes I think, you know, the drug culture, however it might be depicted, is often gets in the way of the narrative. Clearly that's not been the case with Breaking Bad, but early on that was kind of my impression of it, and when I didn't understand what the show was about. So I had actually intended to watch that while I was waiting on Mad Men to come back, because Mad Men is terrific. Largely, you know, in the first season, it was what everybody really thought it was, which was, you know, whatever, Don Draper's the greatest thing ever. And the second season, I could give a fuck about him. because the supporting cast is un-fucking-believably good. Like, unbelievably good. And it has probably one of the greatest depictions of, and most interesting depictions of how to do a strong female character I've ever seen. Like, and we've probably talked about this at some point, but it's one of my biggest problems with TV, is that we're concerned about race roles and sex roles and all these things in television, and anytime somebody decides to, like, break what they consider to be a preconceived notion, they do it by reinforcing a stereotype somehow.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't make a strong female character by making her a bitch. That's not a strong female character. That's a bitch. They're not the same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not just calling a strong character a bitch. Firefly, I think, had the greatest cast of strong female characters I've ever seen. The most perfect cast. And a Firefly alum is on Mad Men.
Cool.
And she's very good. So I love that supporting cast. I'm really hoping that they feature prominently in the stuff that comes up. So that I do watch. Love Dexter.
Did you finish watching the third season?
No, Dana and I haven't started watching it. That's something I'm not allowed to watch on my own. That's a wee show.
Oh no, I figured it was. I just hadn't.
Yeah, no, we have not. We have not. But it's really, really good. Really, really good. So I'll have to take you up on some of your other suggestions, because I clearly agree with half of what you said. So.
I seem to always get good vibes from HBO Showtime stuff, but that's I rarely ever end up watching any of it. So maybe I should just kind of go with that and give more of those a shot.
I got some Deadwood if you want to borrow it.
Maybe.
That's the one I recommend all the time. It's just Deadwood. Six Feet Under was very good.
Got a man crush on Swear Engine. That's all it is.
Yeah, okay.
That's Scott's being a woman again.
Yeah, dude. guy's awesome. Anyway, yeah, there's that. And I've started. This is not going to help. I've started watching Hung as well.
I don't even know what that is.
It's about a male prostitute.
Oh, okay.
Starring the Punisher of all people, Thomas Jane.
He's cool. I like him.
Yeah. Strange.
I like his wife.
Who's his wife?
Trish Arquette.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's cool.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
I like her show, too.
What's hers?
Medium.
Oh, that's right. That is, yeah, I have to watch it.
It's a good show.
Glad it got saved, though. I was like, because I knew a lot of people were fans.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. Again, small but really great supporting cast. Like, I can't watch a show that doesn't have a good supporting cast.
Do we want to talk about G.I. Joe?
Yeah. It's a long fucking episode, dude, but I'm sorry. Like,
we'll go into G.I. Joe.
It's all kind of, it's like eight ways fucked up. And I think I came out so much more pissed than anybody else in that movie.
I think you did, yeah.
No, you.
I was extraordinarily angry and had not realized. And it wasn't even like, you know, fucked my childhood. It wasn't even that angry. I got over that shit really, really long time ago. Mm. But it was like, clearly such an amazing. Here's my problem. G.I. Joe is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. There is no way that it is not the most ridiculous thing ever. But what G.I. Joe is requires a collection of absurd characterizations of military, paramilitary people. That's what made it interesting after enough time. And it did have really good, interesting interpersonal stories and stuff, as is evidenced by The Ballad of G.I. Joe. Starring far too many well-known actors for it to make any sense for me, but whatever. I'll have to drop a link somewhere, because Jeremy and I laughed about that shit today. All I'm saying is Billy Crudup as Zartan is more than a little ironic. But certain things I believe are required for the absurdity of the characters and the situation to make to be at all worth putting on display. And what happened in this film is that I think someone paid very close attention to who these characters were and why they were what they were and what each meant to another. They paid great attention to what G.I. Joe was and went out, because they obviously went out of their way to avoid every one of those things, other than a few name associations and even fewer like wardrobe associations. But they had at every point when you recognize this is this character, this is who they are, here's their relationship to the people around them, this is why they do what they do, say or don't say what they say, these are all the things. And it kind of props up the ridiculousness of the G.I. Joe Cobra thing. It's because it's so unbelievably ridiculous. So when you take all that away, there's not even any reason for any of this stuff to be happening. It becomes completely random, in my opinion. And every single character, as represented, was as far removed from what they really were as can be, the way I saw it. I mean, like, Destro wasn't horrible. I think we agreed that they were fairly close to him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I could have been okay if Cobra Commander and the Baroness had been even remotely what they should have
yeah,
been.
Yeah,
that
was the point at which the film completely fell apart for me. Because like, there were a lot of the other changes, while bad, like, weren't necessarily game-breaking for me. Like, you know.
But those two were...
Once you got to that point and they were like, do we go into spoiler territory here?
Yes, because my recommendation is that you should go nowhere near this movie.
Now you've been warned, you know. Once they say, hey, the Baroness is, you know, just brainwashed. She's not really bad. Duke's like...
It's Duke's,
you know,
old ex-fiance whose job is to do nothing but sit around being blonde and getting engaged to people named Duke, right? Like, that's so fucking far from what the Baroness was. Like, dude... They didn't even bother to explain why she's a brunette. They just said she's not blonde anymore.
Yeah.
Why is she a brunette? Because she's evil, apparently. Like, it's fucking retarded. And she, like, became evil because of nanites. Yeah, no bullshit. Everything's
because of nanites. I could have even, like, I could have lived with, like, her not having the kick-ass accent with her being, like, Duke's ex-fiance as long as she had just been evil.
Yeah.
But she wasn't even evil. No. She was brainwashed into being evil. And then at the end, like, she was in her right mind again. Fuck you.
Yeah, and it was horrible.
It was terrible.
Hey, everybody,
and worse,
was coming out of her coma.
Yeah, exactly. And worse than that was fucking Cobra Commander.
Who
I thought the character was going to be like a sort of passable Dr. Mindbender.
Sort of.
Then they were like, no, Dr. Mindbender was this other dude we show for 2 seconds. This is going to be Cobra Commander. I'm like,
and it was
no.
It was so...
But Cobra Commander isn't like the Duke's ex-fiance's little brother. That is so fucked up.
No.
I can't even...
It was the nature of, because, and some of that stuff is legit. Like, the Baroness kind of went off the deep end when she was very young.
Yeah.
Because she believed Snake Eyes killed her older brother.
That's fine, yeah. If you want to, like, twist that shit in some other weird way. Like I said, I
was
okay with it until, like,
yeah.
Oh, she's not really evil. She's just controlled by nanomachines.
She fell in with that bad crowd, and, like the whole Destro family. And her, and like her brother, and Snake Eyes, it was all tied in together, and their origins for who they would be were there. And that's okay. But it was her older brother who was her thing. And like, and she was clearly Russian, Anastasia something, Anastasia Cobra, but she had another name. Like, bitch was Russian and hot and evil and like had great clothes. And like this chick, she didn't have any of that shit. Like, they put some fucking glasses on her, and it's like, Don't try to pull that, like, Eastern European Euro-trash nerd hot on me. I was raised on this bullshit, my friend. Like, don't try to... This is no Baroness. And it was just filthy. And it was like, it makes no sense. You went out of your way to make it make no sense. And that's what made it feel so weird. The character was already done. And I didn't understand what the problem was. The Cobra Commander was just bad enough because...
Well, a large part of Cobra Commander, you know, since childhood, was the mystery around him. You know, you never see his face. You don't know anything about him other than he's an evil terrorist mastermind.
Right, and you do eventually learn, after enough time, a lot of the mysteries were, particularly in the comics, were dealt with. And you learn that, you learn he's got a connection to Snake Eyes as well, which kind of ties in, like, why he and the Baroness are both... the top two people in this organization that's all about hating Snake Eyes or some shit. But, like, there was a lot of mystery, and it wasn't, you know, It was no big weird origin story like this. It was just, oh God, it was
yeah,
just,
not
it
everything
horrible.
Has to be explained. Not everybody needs a big, you know, in-depth yeah. background that you have to delve into.
Yeah. Or at least not right away.
No.
And it was just bad. And apparently Snake Eyes just took a vow of silence. Which is complete bullshit, because he was, like, mangled in a accident or in battle or something. I know that. I mean, he was, like, badly injured and couldn't talk, which is what, like, where all that shit came from. And he was, like, kind of the closest to what he should have been, but maybe even a little bit too literally, because, like, you know, the creepy mask's, like, protruding rubber lips really freaked me out for the whole
time. Well, Snake Eyes is another one who's, like, the mystery around him served his character for a while, you know?
Yes, it did.
It's a lot like the whole Wolverine thing. As soon as you explain it, it's not quite as interesting yeah. anymore. Like, a badass ninja who never says a word, yeah. and he's just standing around shining his sword,
yeah.
and you say some shit to him, and he just kind of looks at you, and you can't see an expression, because he's got the shit over his face. Like, yeah. that's intimidating. Yes. Like, but once you know his story, then he becomes kind of sympathetic.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not the same thing. So, like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it was just, and it was bad. And, like, you know, Duke and Ripcord show up. And, like, there's apparently, like, 5,000 G.I. Joes under the sand in Egypt, right? But these are the first two assholes we ever thought to put powered suits on. And we're going to basically send them out there by themselves to conquer this whole problem. And, like, we can't track down these two, you know, European assholes who are causing us a lot of trouble. Maybe if we put powered suits on the other 4,998 motherfuckers under the sand in Egypt, we could have solved this fucking problem pretty quick. But no, there's apparently only two guys.
And man, the Spartan armor scene was one of the first ones I had, like, just a huge problem with the way it was, the whole movie was portraying G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Because, like, I went into it initially fearing that, like, it would just be a bunch of guns and military vehicles and very realistic, and yeah. G.I. Joe's not about realistic.
No, it's about sure sell, isn't.
Crazy fucking toy vehicles that...
Yes.
Yeah.
Which they did actually get right.
Which, yeah, like, right in the beginning when that Cobra plane shows up and is, you know, being all sci-fi and shit, I'm like, all right, we're on the right track here. But then you get to, like, the fucking Spartan armor scene.
Yeah.
Where there's like two vans in a car chase and two guys in Spartan armor running after one of the vans. I'm like, and then the van pops some side panels out and there's missiles. I'm like, yeah, this is a mask movie all of a sudden. This isn't, I don't remember a G.I. Joe toy that was a fucking van with missiles on it. No.
I even had an A-Team toy that did that. But I didn't have any G.I. Joe toys that did that. They didn't hide their fucking missiles.
No, man.
Like, here's our goddamn missiles, motherfucker. Like, no, you're right. That entire sequence was as un-G.I. Joe as it could possibly be, and it wasn't even that great.
Yeah, and it was... the G.I. Joe guys didn't run around in power armor either.
No.
The Cobra guys sure as fuck did, but nah, the G.I. Joe guys didn't.
Yeah,
so...
it was... Oh, God, it was horrifying. It was bad. And, like, the way the characters were all drawn around, it was, I mean, Duke was actually made like Flint. Flint wasn't around. Hawk was made like Duke. Like, these were all weird things.
Yeah.
And, like, Scarlet sucks, because I've always hated Scarlet.
So they actually got her right.
Yeah. I never liked Scarlet. I've always hated that bitch. I don't know why. Like, and I said this earlier, I even like CoverGirl better than like Scarlet. And CoverGirl was fucking useless. These motherfuckers are fail for not giving me Lady J. I don't care about the mildly lesbian overtones from that character. I really don't care. You know, she was a tough brunette. I like that. So I was really upset that there was no Lady J. I was like, get off this fucking Scarlet trip. And by the way, like, I'm just saying. Lady J, Duke... Scarlet, Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
That's how it went.
There was a scene where, like...
What's a Scarlet Ripcord shit? Like,
before, like, Ripcord was, like, being all, hey, baby, blah, 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 blah. Like, there was a scene where, like, she was, like, resting her head, like, with an arm propped up in between on Snake Eyes' shoulder.
Oh,
like,
I didn't see that.
Hey, cool, yeah, that's...
I didn't see that.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
But, like, never came up again and, like, immediately went into this Ripcord stuff. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's fucked
work.
Up.
Yeah.
No.
No, it doesn't work. Like, oh, God, it was really bad.
But and really, I could have overlooked most of not having, like, as close a ties to G.I. Joe as I do other things, like Transformers. I could have, like, enjoyed it had it not taken that horrible turn there at the end with the Baroness and Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
That killed it for me. Completely.
Yeah, it was not. It just wasn't. And like you know, that's fine. Like, Ripcord was actually fine as a character. I just felt like they had him doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they made him kind of like a do-anything sort of guy, which, again, that's not what they were. Part of what made G.I. Joe so absurd but kind of fun is that they were all, like, stupid specialists.
Right.
It's like, you know, Snowblind, you don't have anything to do because this isn't an episode of Snow. You know?
Right.
Who's playing as Ripcord in this movie?
Marlon Wayans.
And was it comic relief?
Kind of. See, this,
because I don't think I've ever seen him in a film the way he was in comic relief.
Here's the thing. There were several problems with it. One, the character was drawn as a little bit of, like, you know, whatever. I'm sort of the funny party guy kind of mm-hmm. thing. But also, they had him do too much. He was a powered armor expert, and he was a marksman expert, and he was like the fly anything guy. And it was like, that's not interesting along the... Yeah, that's not interesting from the G.I. Joe perspective. It's not. A team of specialists is what they are. And
each person has one attribute, and that's
yeah,
it.
Or
yeah,
or maybe two, you know. Yeah. But, like, I felt like that really diminished what could otherwise have been very, very fun. But by taking, like, two characters and giving them too much of the film... Duke was like some kind of general-purpose soldier guy, and that's totally cool. When they sort of did that with the character, but the guy playing him was just dreadful. I mean, he was just horrible. It was fucking terrible. And Duke should never have been... Duke is not the guy who just shows up and joins the team.
Yeah.
Duke is an old member of the team, you know, because of where he has to fall and things. So I don't think that was a really good idea. I thought that was bad. So you had this really inexpert and poorly acted thing kind of mixed with this much, well, comparatively much better thing. And it was a bad fit. They were trying to go a buddy angle or something, but it didn't work. It was a really bad fit, and I didn't like it at all, like, at all. It was really bad. I was really angry that... that there was no Lady J and no Shipwreck. I was really pissed off about there not being a Shipwreck, actually. Like, they even... Shit, man! They spent the last third of the fucking movie on a boat!
I'm on a boat!
And you couldn't give me Shipwreck? Like, you couldn't even just have somebody come up and, like, snarl some ridiculous wise-ass comment? Like, you know... What the fuck? That's what it was so fun, is that everybody had their own shtick, you know? That's why it was fun. It was ridiculous, but it was fun. And you took all the fun out. And why would you do that? You made it shitty, you know? And it sucked. I mean, yeah, okay, like...
Is it safe to say the movie was an insult?
No, I didn't even take it like that. I just, I don't even see stuff like that anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't worry about it from that perspective. I just want them to take something that's clearly... It almost seems to me impossible that you could make a movie out of G.I. Joe and not make it kind of fun. Why you would spend such an enormous amount of money to always, at every point, make a decision that's less interesting? Well, how are we going to draw this character? Well, here's how it was, which worked for, I don't know... 20-something goddamned years because it was interesting and good. Well, let's go this direction. So at every point at which a decision was made, they made the worst decision. That's statistically very unlikely that would happen by accident. Somebody avoided all the interesting stuff. And why you would spend... And it was obviously had a huge effects budget. And the effects were, meh. But, like, there were a lot of effects shot in the film.
So. I think the Hollywood culture is such that when you get a hold of a property like that, you don't want to be seen as just bringing it to the screen. You have to, like, bring your own vision to it and put your own interpretation and spin on it and, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. It was just, it could have been very fun.
You can stop doing that anytime now, and the rest of us will be perfectly happy about it.
Yeah.
We've seen it doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, not really. Not really. And they could have done a lot less. And gotten and accomplished a lot more, you know? So, the most interesting thing about the movie, baby Snake Eyes fighting baby Storm Shadow.
Yeah.
Like, as little kids. Like, and there was a lot of, there was an awful lot of fucking flashbacking. Like, every now and then the camera would zoom in on somebody's, like, tear-swollen eye, and it's like, oh, god damn it. What's it gonna be? Scenes on a fucking beach? Like, a dead pet? What the fuck am I gonna have to be subjected to
now? I'd say I was grateful for a lack of shaky cam, at least.
It was only, like, one place they did it, and it was justified. But yeah, they popped back to, like, you know, one of the Snake Eyes origin things, and it's like when Snake Eyes met Storm Shadow. Snake Eyes was a hungry white boy on the streets of, I don't know, fucking Shanghai or the hill where they didn't bother explaining that shit. And, like, you know, he snuck into the temple to steal some rice. And Storm Shadow came in there and, like, tried to fucking kill him. And these guys are, like, what, like, I don't know, like, seven?
Yeah.
These kids, I don't know how old kids are when I see them. They were, like, I don't know, like, waist high, however old that is. They looked like they were, like, seven or eight.
But good fucking fight, though.
And beat the shit out of each other, man. Like, these two kids beat the shit out of each other. I mean, you've got fucking Darth Maul in the goddamn Snake Eyes suit, and he didn't kick half the ass that his 8-year-old counterpart did. Not even remotely. How the hell you put Darth Maul in a black fucking suit and give him ninja swords, and he doesn't kick much ass, is beyond me. He should have killed, like, 1,000 more guys.
Yeah.
And, like, Storm Shadow sucked. Like, he's fucking... He was a piece of shit dummy fucker. He sucked. Like, what he needs is to, like, go grab Excalibur like he did in that one episode where the Baroness stole Excalibur. And the Storm Shadow started kicking everybody's ass with Excalibur. That's G.I. Joe, motherfucker. What the hell is shit? Well, it's all fucked up.
I wonder when G.I. Joe will meet the Transformers.
I don't know.
I mean, I know they already have in the comics, and I liked what they did with that.
Sometimes it's pretty fun, cool, man. They even did it in the cartoon once.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you mentioned
Cobra Commander.
Cobra Commander. That shit was actually really, they don't make cool. Terrorists like no, they used don't. To.
That was fun. It was really fun. Yeah, I don't know. And they even did this shit at the end where it's like Storm Shadow, like, grabs both the swords and puts them together so it's a double-bladed sword. Mm-hmm. And it's like, really?
Well, I don't know if you caught when Christopher Eccleston as Destro called, I don't know, remember the character's name. Was it Alex? Turned out to be Cobra Commander later or whatever.
Oh, sure.
Whatever. But yeah, but he referred to him as the Doctor. Or Doctor. And I was Christopher Eccleston, Doctor, yeah.
God, he was, hey man, he had a real hard-on for that sort of stuff in this movie.
Lots of mummy references.
No, it's just mummy references out the fucking ass. Because, like, Arno Vosloo was Zartan. And then, like, Brendan Fraser, because, you know, he's not doing anything anymore, has, like, some cameo where he's, like, training people to fight. And Duke actually knocked Snake Eyes down, which is total horseshit. And then, like, what's his name?
I don't remember. I
always forget his fucking name. He's done a lot of things, but, like, as a mummy reference, I played Benny in the mummy. He was Dr. Mindbender. So it was just, could have been very fun. Could have been very interesting. I did not believe it would be, but I just...
Bless you.
And twice.
I just didn't think that... I don't know. I thought that they would make more fun decisions than they did, and they didn't. It was just not fun. So, and like, again, I'm stupid when I watch a movie, dude. It's easy to entertain me, but...
And it didn't entertain you.
Didn't do the job. I was done with it.
Are we done with this?
Yeah, we're done.
Kill it.
See you next week.
Night.